Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast today. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, September 20th, 2015. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like the show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it. Why? Because it'll make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. I know for a fact that there are a few hundred of you that listen, at least from the hits that I get on the main website. And there's quite a few of you that listen on Stitcher. It doesn't take a lot. I'm not asking you to pay for this thing. I'm not, you know, I'm giving this to you because I want to do it and because I have needs that haven't been met. And so that's why I deliver this podcast and that's why I do this thing. So it would be awesome if you like this thing, and I know you do. I'm not being arrogant about it. I know you like it because you wouldn't tune in if you didn't. Give it a review. Give it a 5-star review. Tell everybody, you know, it'll make the ratings go up. And maybe one day, you know, I can leave my job. You know, maybe. But for now, in the interim, it'll make me feel good to see that you like this thing that I'm doing. And that's all I'm going to say about it. What else can you do? You can follow the show on Twitter at Mundane Festival, and you can follow me, your host, Chris Lambert, the guy talking to you right now. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris Lambert. Also, I'm on Instagram, so that's another option to see the things that I share with you via picture form from my phone. This is episode 136 of the show. I have a very special guest, a man, a new dad, a comedian, a voice actor, a man by the name of Brian McGinnis. And we're going to be talking to him soon. I just wanted to say a couple things right now. I'm in my apartment. I have SportsCenter on mute. And before I turn this thing on, they had Britt McHenry. She's a field reporter on ESPN, and she's the woman that got her car towed, and she yelled and said mean things at the tow truck lady, and now she's back on TV. She's been back on TV for a long time, but it's like it never happened. But I'll never forget the mean things that you said to that lady at that tow truck company, which is also shady. But I remember that for at least a week and a half, that was in the news, and that people were turned up about that. And it's pretty interesting. I'm excited. It's football Sunday, but I think my football Sunday might be truncated because I have a show tonight. I'm doing a show. It's at Halyard's Bar in Brooklyn. I don't know when you'll get this, when you'll listen to it, but I'm going to be doing a show, and I'm scheduled to tape a podcast with somebody, a friend of the podcast who's been on the show before. Not going to mention the person's name because I kind of don't want to spoil it until the episode is in the can. So you'll be excited for this person, and then I don't deliver, and I don't want you to be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. So I'm going to be doing that. Hopefully I'll get to catch this Buffalo Bills Patriots game, at least most of it. Tyrod Taylor going against Tom Brady. Tyrod Taylor is now featured on the lock screen of my phone. And Cam Newton, a really dope picture of Cam Newton on my home screen of my Samsung Galaxy S4. So you know what it is when we talk about these black quarterbacks. You already know. I don't need to explain. I'm excited. I'm excited about football. Really didn't get to kick it too much last week because I was in Cleveland. Got to see a few games, but probably if not this weekend, maybe next weekend, I'll be fully immersed into NFL football. But I'm glad it's back nonetheless. Comedy was pretty fun this week. I only did one show. I was chilling in my apartment last night. I had actually was going to do like a sad divorced dad Saturday night or just a washed Saturday night. I went to return some movies to Redbox at the grocery store, and I had some Talenti ice cream, which was on sale. That ice cream is usually like $5-6 a pint, and it was on sale for like $3.33. But they didn't have. I think what my favorite is, Brian and I talk about ice cream to start off our conversation. But I think, what did I get? My favorite that I've had would be the cookies and cream. I think, yeah, so they didn't have that. So I just got the Tahitian vanilla and a chocolate chip. I've had the Tahitian vanilla. That's always safe. That's always the base. I don't like to get too crazy when it comes to ice cream and anything, really. Unless I'm exposed to it and I taste it and it's good. That's usually how I roll. So I got that and I was really just going to chill. And I was going to eat that. But I got a call from my good buddy, Paul Verzi, friend of the podcast, of the Verzi Effect album coming out this week, the 25th. It's called Paul Verzi. I think it's called Night at the Stand or Live at the Stand. Oh boy, this is another part that I've dug myself into a hole, and I didn't expect to talk about this, but I'm going to check out his album. We'll get the title for you, and I know that it's available for pre-order on iTunes. So okay, Friday the 25th. It's called Paul Verzi Night at the Stand. So there you go. And I'm excited to hear it. I'm going to buy it. He promised to get me a hard copy, but I'm going to buy the thing and support my buddy. So Paul calls me. He calls me around 7:50-ish or so. And he's like, "Hey man, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm nothing. Just chilling. I was about to watch Netflix." And he's like, "Hey, got a gig. It's near you in Park Ridge, open for me at this, place. It was a gig for recovering addicts, and it's like in the, and so he texted me the address. I hopped in the shower and ironed a shirt, went over, and we had a great time. It was fun. I didn't know what to say to these people, but the guy hosting, Joe Conte, basically was like, "These are the best shows." And when somebody says that to you, you kind of think like, I could bomb. Every show you could bomb and something bad could happen. Thankfully this wasn't the night, but usually, you know, ever since I heard Chris Rock say pretty much stand up is like a prize fight, you could lose. And as successful and great as Chris Rock is, you know, he fears that, and I'm not going to front and act like, so who am I to say? I don't get scared, but there's always nerves before any type of show. And so we're talking, we're hanging out, and then one thing I think that he said or Verzi said, you know, at least you'll know the laughs are genuine because they're not drunk. And I remember Joe said there's no bachelor party going on. There's no distractions. All they have is their coffee and their food or whatever, and then you're gonna entertain them. So that sort of put me at ease, but it ended up being like really fun. I did probably like a half an hour or so, if not more, and had a great time. Paul did his thing, got busy, and the crowd was really appreciative. They like after the show, you know, sometimes people say, "Oh, good job," and you know they'll say that, but then there's some people who are like, "Oh, this was really good. We really loved it." Another thing, a lot of attractive women at this thing. I mean, most of them were called for or spoken for, but there's some. But you got eyes. I could look. Some of them were really nice, and really nice looking, really hot women. I don't know, but they were. And so, shout out to the homie Paul Verzi for taking me out of a sad, washed Saturday night. Wash Chronicles on a Saturday night, divorced dad, Netflix kind of night. So that was fun. I didn't go to the theater this week. Speaking of movies, I did a spoiled movie review podcast with Rod from The Black Guy Who Tips. If you're a premium listener, subscriber for The Black Guy Who Tips, it's available for you to download and listen. That was a lot of fun. Rod only told me it was going to be about a half an hour, but we ended up talking for an hour and change. We talked, we reviewed this movie. That was pretty much like a feature length review of the movie. And then we started talking about other stuff like black actors and diversity in film and stuff like that. So it was a good conversation. Always had a great time talking to Rod about stuff and things. And so that was dope. Also, just wanted to I'll give you a movie recommendation. But I if you follow me on Twitter and you're friends with me on Facebook, you'll know that I'm a hashtag black actor, and I support hashtag black actors. And I'm really excited about this. August Wilson, Denzel Washington is going to be starring in Fences. They're doing recording the play, him and Viola Davis. And then he's going to be producing the cycle of all of August Wilson plays, which are all 10 of his plays. I should read this to you. And I expected to mention this, but I didn't know that I was going to be, I'll just explain to you in the blog entry. And I'm now doing a little bit of soft shoe, before the page actually loads. It's funny to me how I think the Wi-Fi at the Days Inn in Lakewood, Ohio is slightly faster than the one in my apartment. And usually I don't know if it's my laptop being finicky. I don't know if it's my Wi-Fi. I know my laptop's been finicky, but right now I just don't know what's going on. Okay. So let me see what this thing. Okay. If you would only scroll down a little bit more. Okay, here we go. Oh, see, now it's doing the fucking... Damn it. Okay, guys. All right. Okay. So it's on IndieWire. If you just Google Denzel and August Wilson, stuff will come up. But this is what it says. Washington shared that the deal with HBO will see him produce all 10 plays for the cable TV network. One a year for the next 10 years, starting, of course, with Fences, which he said he'll be directing next spring 2016. So he's going to be directing that. So every year they'll do one. That's pretty fucking dope. And I'll read you the list of plays. So it's a cycle. So from the 1900s, the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And I think 2000, but here we go. 1900s, Gem of the Ocean. 1910s, Joe Turner's Come and Gone. 1920s, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Number four, The Piano Lessons, which is 1930s. 1940s, Seven Guitars. 1950s, Fences. 1960s, Two Trains Running. I remember doing a monologue from that. I did a monologue from that in college, and that was like, this is important. So fuck it, I'll talk about that later. 1970s, Jitney. 1980s, King Hedley II. 1990s radio golf. So this is really dope for a guy that is in debt for having an MFA in theater performance and acting. It's really dope because August Wilson, he kind of gets deified a lot by hashtag black actors. But I want to say rightfully so, because he's one of the first people that, and I've said this on a bunch of different platforms and shows, but I'll say it again. He's one of those people that made me realize that, you know, there were roles for me. A lot of stuff is going on around with like Matt Damon talking about diversity and that Project Greenlight thing, which is a dumbass thing that he said about, you know, it doesn't matter. The diversity behind the scenes doesn't matter as long as you have diversity in the films. And I think that's bullshit, because one of the reasons why I'm talking to you on a podcast right now, one of the many reasons why I'm involved in show business, while I've had an off and on love affair with show business, is because of people like Spike Lee and John Singleton and Matty Rich and the Hughes brothers, who, when I was growing up, I thought that those dudes were cool because they were these storytellers. They were making these movies. Those guys were behind the scenes, and I thought that was dope. And I think kids coming up now need to know that, you know, people that are minorities need to know that this is possible and you can pursue this just as much as being in front of the camera and being a performer is really cool too. I think the alternative is also cool. The alternative of getting a real job is cool too for some people, and it's a lot easier. No, it's not. Pursue what the fuck you want to pursue and go in. Do your thing. Let me not waver on that. But so coming up, when I was a kid, we would do plays like The Sound of Music, The King and I, and there were no black people in those movies. But when you're in junior high school and you're doing a play, you're just in the play. It's just colorblind casting and doing like Molière, who's a French playwright, doing The Misanthrope, doing Tartuffe and The Miser. You're a black guy playing these French roles that were meant for people that don't look like you. And so you get to learn your craft and you get to learn how to play these different roles. And then you get to college and you're doing the same thing. And throughout educational theater, that's kind of the thing. And then really sometimes it's based on talent. You know, maybe you're the best person for the job. And when you get into the real world, that's not usually the case. Really, it's not. So you're forced to play the black guy, regardless of how big that part is, or whether you're like a tool to, you're like a three-dimensional character with a heartbeat, or you're just a tool to get the story told, you know. So from whatever spectrum that is, and sometimes you're often relegated to just being a satellite. You're like the satellite for the main white character. So August Wilson kind of he made those people that were on the fringes important, and he gave them a heartbeat. He gave them a pulse, and he put the microscope on a lot of these people, and he was great at it. Now, you could argue that, you know, did he not have enough roles for women? That's true. He could have, you know, but that was the choice that he made. And there are a lot of strong women in his plays. Strong, interesting, complex women. But, you know, nobody's perfect. But for the most part, for a young black actor, he was the dude that inspired me and showed me that there was a way, and I didn't have to worry about living up to somebody's expectations of, can I be a black Stanley Kowalski? And which I was in college. And I remembered, you know, just when the first time that I discovered him and doing a monologue from two trains running. I think it was Sterling and doing a monologue from Jitney and just all that shit, man. It's just fucking great. And if you're a theater nerd, you get it. You'll understand it. But even if you're not, that's where a lot of that stems from. And that's where a lot of the pride comes, where you see me write those hashtag black actor things on Twitter and Facebook, because it is a sense of pride. It is pretty cool, and it's kind of funny sometimes when I do it, but for the most part, that's what that's steeped in. So I'm very excited about that, and for the opportunities that it's going to give a lot of hashtag black actors. So with that being said, I'll give you a movie recommendation. I just watched this movie early this morning called Faults. And it was in my Netflix queue. I had added it to my list, and I said, "Okay, this looks interesting. I'm going to see it." And then I was talking to the homie Andrew Short, friend of the podcast. We were in Cleveland together doing the Accidental Comedy Festival, and we were talking. He's like, "Yeah, man, you got to check out this movie, Faults." And I was like, "All right, this movie's been in my queue. I'll check it out." So I watched it, and I was like, "Damn, this is good." And I'll just say, I'll read the little blurb for you. A renowned authority A renowned authority, played by Leland Orser, on mind control, encounters a formidable challenge when he is hired to deprogram a strong-willed cultist. And that's played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who was in... What was she in? She was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I think she was the girl in that. And she, like, the main girl he was in love with, or the new girl he was in love with. And not see now, Chris, gosh darn it. Okay, now the internet's saying, "Oh, you know, hey, something happened." And now it's going to give me, what was Mary Elizabeth Winstead in? And she was in, I'm trying to find the page to load, and it's doing it right now, but slower than usual, because I'm doing a podcast, and I'm trying to not waste your time. But I want to give you the information so that I'm a credible podcast host." All right. So she was in. Damn it. That's not. She was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. She was in Kill the Messenger. She played that dude's wife, Jeremy Renner's wife, in that movie. I don't know if she. I don't think she was either the wife or one of his colleagues at the newspaper. She was in The Spectacular Now. So she's been in a lot. Really good actress. And it's a good movie. It was it sort of put me in the mind of a really even a quirkier version of one of my favorite movies in recent past, Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. Much quirkier, and then had a hell of a fucking twist. So I don't want to spoil anything for you, but I definitely recommend it. I'd say it's one of the most interesting flicks that you can check out on Netflix. So without further ado, let's get to Brian McGinnis. Brian, I met him a couple of years ago, and he's a good dude, funny dude. I really wanted to talk to him, especially after I found out that he was in Until Dawn. He's an avid gamer. I went to his apartment in Queens last week, and he's got a PS4. He's got quite a few games, and he's a new dad. And he showed me some of the games he had, and it was fun talking with him. And so I know that sometimes video games would come up. We'd talk about it on Facebook. And we go back and forth and talk about stuff. So it was really good to talk to him. We talk about a lot of other things. We talk about 90s hip hop and basketball. You'll hear it. And it was good. I had a great time talking to him. Towards the end, he turns on the AC, so it might get a little noisy, but whatever. We still have a great conversation. So I think that you'll enjoy it. So here's me talking to comedian, voice actor, and brand new dad, Brian McGinnis.
She goes, "Chocolate for you." She's an old Jewish lady. Sam's like, uh-huh. thanks. But we had like a fridge full because Sam couldn't eat them fast enough.
Oh, I love, my favorite candy is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yeah. And they used to do it, they don't do it anymore, they used to have the, like in the bags, they used to have like the mini bites. Mm-hmm. And they were in the ball, like the ball form, kind of like a, God, what would that be?
They're just like peanut butter balls.
Peanut butter balls. Yeah. Exactly what the, and they were so, that was the best form.
And they have that in cereal now.
They do?
Don't they have those peanut butter cup cereal?
I don't know.
It's like little peanut butter balls.
They've branched out like so much that it's just, it's ridiculous. Like there's so many, like there's the ice cream.
Yeah.
Which is great. The Breyers makes it.
Growing up, my whole life, when we ever go to, there's a Friendly's down the block for me. I would always get black raspberry ice cream for dessert,
mm-hmm.
with Reese's Pieces and a peanut butter cup in it.
Oh yeah,
nice cold peanut butter cup so that, with ice cream.
Ooh. Oh, so that was before, so that was before. See, I first well, discovered like that. That's before Cold Stone. Like it has to be, right?
Yeah, I was 8, 7, 8, 9 years old.
Because you could mix it in. I wasn't that adventurous. I'm a vanilla guy.
I don't like chocolate, so I always got vanilla unless they had something. I like fruity stars, but black raspberry is my shit.
Okay.
Yeah. I still get it if I see it at like Key Food or something. I'll get a tub of black raspberry,
I've just had like, I just started trying. Have you ever had Talenti?
What's that?
It's gelato.
Oh.
And it comes in a pint, and it's like a plastic pint thing. I think you're really, it's like $6.
Yeah, it's expensive, but goddamn, it's worth it.
It's really good.
Sam got this gelato the other day, and I think it was either black raspberry or black cherry.
Okay.
I took one bite and was passed out. It was so good. I was like, holy shit, this is delicious. But now, yeah, it's like you see the two for $4 Turkey Hill giant ones or the one mini $6 one.
It's good.
But it's worth it.
Because the first time, because I would hear people talking about, I always talk about black Twitter on the podcast, but you know when black Twitter co-signs something?
Yeah.
The burden is put on you to now try it. So I was like, I was in Whole Foods, and that's really not the place to be in when you want to, because it's so expensive.
Yeah, these are Trader Joe's peanut butter cups.
I'm going to try one.
Yeah, you are.
And so, I just got the vanilla bean, because I'm like, vanilla bean, conservative.
Yeah.
Not going to, And it was good.
Yeah.
And then the next time I got the cookies and cream,
mm-hmm.
because I would only do, my flavors would just be like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, Breyers, Oreo, Breyers, or just like their vanilla bean.
Yeah.
And so I just said, I tried it. It was great. It's like $5.49.
Yeah. French vanilla, also French vanilla from Baskin Robbins is delicious as well.
I don't do the ice cream too, but when I do, it's amazing.
Yeah, I love ice cream.
I do too. Now that this has been ice cream talk with Brian McGinnis.
That's why I don't drink, but I get milkshakes wherever I go.
You do?
All the time. I get milkshakes when I go out.
Yeah.
I'll get a Frappuccino because I don't drink coffee. I get Frappuccinos all the time from Starbucks.
Okay.
I don't care if it's a milkshake.
I do like
these. It's so good.
They used to have, I think Nestle used to make, I don't know, they may still make it, but they used to make like a milkshake. It's milk, but it's like got the milkshake taste. Like extra diabetes in it or something, just like super
that dessert. That place here in the city, Momofuku Milk Bar.
Okay, I've heard of it. Yeah,
it's delicious. Everything they make there is awesome. They make this thing there, especially it's called cereal milk.
Okay,
they'll just basically put like a whole box of Fruity Pebbles in like a strainer, uh-huh. and they'll pour like gallons of milk on it.
What is it, $9?
And the milk just strains through it, but it gets that Fruity Pebble flavor to it.
Okay,
and they make milkshakes out of that.
Yeah.
I went with Dan Enfield. We got one a few months ago. His first sip, he goes, "Wow!" he's flipped out because it was so good.
I can hear him saying that.
He's like, "Wow!"
Picture him saying that.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's so good.
That's.
I had the palate of a 5-year-old, basically. I like sweets and ice cream stuff.
Like burgers and stuff. I just came back from doing a comedy festival in Cleveland.
How was that?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was.
Did LeBron win just by default?
No, I was hoping, like, there's my dad made a corny joke by saying, "Oh, say hello to LeBron for me." And I was like, "Well, Dad, you know, he's probably not going to." He's like, "I know, I just wanted to say that." And I was like, "You know what, Dad? I'm going to let him off the hook." Yeah. And being honest, I was thinking that too. Yeah. I was like,
"Yeah, it would be kind of." So neat. I just made a dad joke, you're saying, because I've just
been. And you just became a dad. Congratulations, man. How many weeks?
Is it two, couple? 17 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's tiny still.
It's yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So you did just make a dad joke.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's all right. It's official.
It's endearing. But I was kind of thinking that too. I didn't really get to do too much touristy right. stuff. But I dropped the guy off at the bus stop, and it was downtown, yeah. and I got to see the witness. Now it's just him doing the chalk toss
and, Rogaine.
Instead of James. Instead of James in the back, it just on his it would say his name. It says Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I wanted to Instagram it, but I was like in like.
Driving or something.
Yeah, driving, and I didn't want to die. Looking good for a shitty picture.
Seriously,
of LeBron.
Fuck him.
But I love him. You hate him.
Hate him.
Why? Because he didn't go to the Knicks?
No, I didn't want him to the Knicks ever. I liked him. I didn't like him way before that.
You're a Kobe guy, right?
That's probably the main reason why I don't like LeBron, to be honest. In 10 years, I may change my tune.
Yeah, you can't like them both, though?
Because what else does Kobe have to do to get that greatest status when LeBron has done half of that stuff, I think? And was anointed 5 years ago as the greatest ever. And that, I always took offense to that. Mm. It's like, let LeBron finish out his career. Let him win some more titles. Let him do... I understand what he can do. I'm not, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But let's just wait. Let's see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, he's not the best ever. I think Kobe is 1,000 times better.
Well, Kobe... I was having this conversation a couple weeks ago. Kobe is the only one out of the people that the media tried to anoint, like Grant Hill.
Yeah.
Obviously, injuries happened. Mm-hmm. Penny, mm-hmm. Who else? Iverson.
Yep.
Kobe was the only one. Vince Carter,
yeah.
That lived up to it and that
Harold
wanted
Miner.
It. That
you know what I mean?
Oh baby. My God! Yeah,
it's like yeah. Kobe did live up to it. Yeah, exactly.
He was the one that actually wanted it, mm-hmm. and actually vocalized that. And so you got to give it to him. Like, he's one of the best ever.
Yes.
I don't think there's any disputing that at all.
Yeah.
I just think Jalen Rose said this, and I kind of look at it. I take what this his statement by saying we live in a microwave society right now, microwave culture, where you know it's where somebody's that's hot right now. You don't really remember the other people mm-hmm. that paved the way, and you just kind of forget about it. But Kobe, I mean, it's fantastic.
Been there for 20 years. That's why.
And I just don't.
I just read today. He's ready. He's ready for the season. Or he's.
They say he's ready. Yeah, I just saw that. I mean,
it's his last hurrah, man. I feel bad the way he's going out. To be honest, after what he's done,
he's going out on a shield, man.
This team's gonna be so bad, probably again, the Lakers. But whatever, whatever.
What's the kid? Russell
Westbrook?
No.
Oh yeah, the
D'Angelo. Yep. Is it D'Angelo Russell?
Mm-hmm.
There's hope.
Oh yeah, heck yeah.
They just gotta rebuild.
And they struck out too though on free agent. I'm surprised they got Roy Hibbert and what's his face, and it sounded like eh. And that wasn't really a big deal with who they got.
He's just gonna plug up the middle.
Yeah.
I mean you can't teach height.
Right.
So what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
I've been getting a little flack. I don't know if it was from you or Jeff Cerulli. I was just thinking about like I was seeing the live NBA live.
Yeah. You download the demo?
I did. You told me to download it, right?
Terrible.
It was horrible.
And even the new one that just came out last week for 16.
Uh huh.
It's just stiff. It's not fun.
Oh, the new demo's out.
Yeah,
already?
For 16. Yeah, wow. It's for live 16. It's just not good.
Yeah, I was thinking. I was like, oh, I was looking at the videos. Like, oh my god, are they making a
right.
go?
Yeah.
Like,
it looks good, but yeah. It plays terribly.
Okay,
it's not, compared to 2K, it's not even close.
Yeah, because. Yeah. Because when I got my PS4 in February,
yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and I was just, I got, that was the first game I got, 16, what? 2K16.
Oh, 2K, good. Yeah.
And I was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away by it, so I can only imagine what they're going to do with this one.
Yeah.
Do you do the player...
the creative player thing?
Yeah.
I did, this is, in the last one in 15 was the one I took it through the most. I did a whole season. I should have won Rookie of the Year. I was pissed that I didn't, to be honest. But then I got drafted. Then I demanded a trade to the Knicks.
Okay.
And then I just kind of 20-30 games into that season, I kind of stopped. It just gets repetitive.
Yeah, I'm in a season with the Cavs.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like...
You got any playing time?
I didn't do... I just play, like, with LeBron.
Oh, like the actual team.
Yeah, with the team.
Yeah, it's hard, too, because you start off as just a scrub, and you got to build your... You know, you're slow, you can't jump, you can barely shoot, so it's like it takes forever to build your stats up.
Yeah.
By that time, it's midway through the season, you finally get a starting position or a six-man.
I tried it for a few games. Yeah. Like maybe
it's definitely fun, but it takes commitment.
Maybe 2 years ago, I think I did. It's all right. It's fine, but I think it's better when you play with somebody. Now, I guess since we're talking about video games, let's talk Until Dawn, because you were a voiceover actor, and that you were the ranger and the detective.
Yeah, I did four parts in the game.
Okay,
one of them I think was cut. One of them was changed to a different person I noticed in the game.
Uh-huh.
And then the two that I still did, are still left in there.
Describe the game, and then we can. I feel like we can spoil it a little bit because the last time I really nerded out about
it was
game.
So, dude, your explanation was so funny on the podcast.
Oh, well.
It's such a cool game, I'm glad I was in it. I know it's shitty to say that, but because I don't think I would have played it because I don't like scary movies.
Oh, really?
Or horror movies or scary games. But this game was so good.
Uh-huh.
It was so much fun. It was like literally playing one of those campy, silly, scary horror movies, like teens in the stuck in the woods or something. You know.
Well, I guess where we could start with the audition process, but maybe talk a little bit about voice acting.
Yeah.
Then the audition process, and then we'll go into the game, and we'll see where we go from there.
I've been doing stand-up since 2004,
mm-hmm.
Which got me into voiceover, which I started doing in 2010.
Okay.
I love voiceover. It's the best thing I ever did.
It seems like a secret society, dude.
Yeah.
It really, like, because people say, I had a friend that said, yeah, I can get you into it, but...
Yeah, I help people if they ask. It's just hard. It's hard as hell to do it, and it seems easy. Of course, all we're doing is talking into a microphone.
Is it like In a World, like that movie?
There's some shitty people in there. That was a great movie, by the way.
Yes.
My agent was mad at it because she thinks it's going to want everybody to want to go out and just do voiceover now. Any random person is going to try to do voiceover because of that movie. But it's good. It's just fun. I've done most. I do commercials, like radio and TV commercials and stuff. But for the game, an old friend that I've known since like 2000-ish or 99. Mm-hmm. I bumped into him on the street last year, just like randomly. I was like, "Dude, Pete, I haven't seen you in so long." We're chatting and everything. And I knew he made movies, just back in the day, and he's been getting really into it. He produces stuff and everything, and he's like legit. And he's like, "I have a friend that's working on a game, actually. Maybe I can get you a couple things." I was like, "Dude, let me know." Within like a few weeks, he calls me. He's like, "Dude, I might have got you a part for this game." I was like, "Get out of here." So I read a few of the scripts, met with the people.
That's not Quantic Dream, is it?
No, that's
Supermassive.
Supermassive. Quantic Dream did Beyond Two Souls,
which
and
I
Heavy Rain,
loved.
Right? Dude, Beyond Two Souls was so good.
Why did people hate on it?
Dude, I don't know if they hated it, but it came out right when the PS4 came out. That was the last PS3 game I got, by the way.
Me too.
Because PS4 just came out. Oh, that was so good. It's amazing, that game. Mm-hmm. And the ending, I was like, oh, snap. Like, that blew me away. The
Beyond?
Ending. Yeah, Beyond.
Yeah, I don't...
I was like, wow, what a good story. I was actually shocked.
I think for me, because I'm not a snob, I'm more of a, like, I'll do 2K and Madden and Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider.
You see my dumb ass, my collection there. I've way too many games. Plus, I have...
So you don't trade in?
Not, I used to, and I haven't.
I don't blame you.
Yeah,
but
I stopped doing that. Plus, I have, over 100 something games downloaded on my PS3.
Wow.
And probably got 100 on my PS4 already. So, download it. So, I play almost everything. It's kind of pathetic.
Oh.
It's my hobby. I don't drink or do drugs, so I play games.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I just know that some people are really...
I only play this or that. Or
They're really snobbish. And if you just kind of take it for what it was, it's really... And it's the same thing for Until Dawn. It's just a game where...
Great story.
It's a story that you got.
It's different. Yeah.
It's like a choose your own adventure
thing. I'm not going around shooting people's heads off constantly. Mm-hmm. It's all the same stuff. Yeah, it was really fun. But when I was recording, I did the ranger in the game, which if you played it, it's the one when Emily's yelling at the guy over the microphone in the radio tower.
Yeah.
I was like a bored ranger. Mm-hmm. I did the cop at the end and the credits,
yeah.
which I won't spoil that, obviously. And then am I picking me up? Am I good?
You're good. I just want to make sure that we're...
Are we recording?
We're recording.
And then I did the helicopter pilot at the end.
Okay, yeah.
It was a was it a woman in your game? Because, again, there's different outcomes in the game, so I could still be in it. I'm just not sure. But she says, like, there's three survivors.
Yeah.
I did that, but I guess they changed it to somebody else, unfortunately. Okay. When I heard it, I was like, oh, man. But it's fine. And then I played a guy who's walking through the mines and just dies. I got attacked by one of the Wendigo, one of the monsters.
Sure, yeah.
But that, I was so looking forward to seeing that because when I record, I'm just like, ah, I'm screaming. And the guy's like, even more, pretend you're being ripped to shreds. I'm like, all right. So that was fun to record that, but it didn't make it in the game.
How long was that process of recording?
I only recorded like an hour and a half. It was really quick for this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did a commercial 2 weeks ago, which took me like 8 hours.
Did you do it in New York?
Yeah. Yeah.
So explain the game just for people that don't know. You know, they...
It's a choose-your-own-adventure teen survival horror game, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you control, which is cool, 8 different characters.
Right.
You know, it kind of switches up randomly, and you control their story, and you try to keep them alive.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you try to kill them. I tried killing Emily. I couldn't. She was so annoying.
Emily is the worst. She's horrible.
And I've read that. All the blogs have great reviews, and everybody keeps saying Emily's the worst. So
she really
on
is.
On purpose, like, which means she's great as an actor because she nailed that part.
And they got really good actors because I recognize some of their faces.
Ward from S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Now, that I didn't know until I read a review, but he was good.
Yeah. And Mr. Robot, obviously.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Yeah.
And Hayden Panettiere. Those are the three main ones.
The one girl, Emily, I think. Emily is on Shameless. She played...
Okay, cool.
She played... what the
hell? Oh, right. Yeah, you met...
what the hell do they call her? The guy's name. He's like the one that's in college, and he has the hot girlfriend that pays for everything. Okay. Well, she's on that, and then the one girl, the sex pot girl...
Right.
...was on a Disney Channel
show. Okay.
She's on the TV version of 10 Things I Hate About You.
Cool.
Anyway,
yeah.
But yeah, did the first time did you save everybody?
No. I think only 3 made it. 3 out of the 8.
Me
three,
too.
Three, three, three or
yeah,
four.
Yeah. The first one to go was a black dude, and I was upset about that.
You know, it's funny. I think Calvin said the same. Calvin Kennedy said the same thing. He was trying to save the black guy, but he died first.
I was like,
yeah. But when I had a lot of people towards the end, but then like, I think 3 died in the final, like, hour. I was like, shit, come on, I kept making the wrong choice.
The nerdy girl, she... Because I was like, I heard one of the girl's voices in the cavern, but it was really just a Wendigo.
Right.
That was trying to say... that was.
And she's like, what's going... What's
yeah.
Yep. I was like, fuck.
Then I was like...
Classic scary movie mistake.
And a lot of... And you know what I hate when it comes to these video games? Like, the reviewers are like, oh, well... none of these characters were likable, and I really didn't want to save any of them.
You're not likable.
And it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
If you're playing a game, you want to keep them all alive. I got upset.
Yeah. Video game bloggers and reviews are the worst people on the planet.
It's just so...
commenters, yeah. It's gross.
And it's intense. Like I noticed how... what's that game? The Order, 1886. Mm-hmm. It's a fun game,
but
it's a bit repetitive.
It got shit on a big time. Yeah. I wanted to get it, but I didn't. I'll probably get it eventually.
If you can get it for 30, under 30 bucks,
sure I will.
Used or something,
right.
It's fun. But that was like one of those games where it's like, we're going to show you how good the PS4 looks,
right.
But it's
gameplay.
Not that much there.
Right.
But it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
So they have certain... I guess the motion, what do you call that? The
motion controls.
Motion control, like when you have to stay, like they prepare you.
Don't
when
move. That was cool. I like that.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
When those Wendigos are there at the end, and you, it's just like.
Yeah.
They say you could take the vibration, but that takes
it's not fun.
Out
right, yeah.
But
do you have the camera, the PlayStation camera?
No.
Do you know the option in the game with that?
No.
I'll show you if you want later. But
is it when you're doing the selfie or something?
No, there's parts of the game that it records you during the jumpy moments.
Okay.
It records like 5 seconds, and it plays, and you can watch it later.
Every time you jump?
So it plays the video of the game, and it shows you. And it got me, it shows me a few times, going just like jumping out of my chair because it's scary some parts.
Dude,
really get to.
I rented that from Redbox and played it for I didn't do anything that day.
I beat it in a day. Like over 2 days.
How did you stop it?
Stop what?
Is it just, you just stop
playing? I'll just save, yeah.
Okay, because I just
thought... You're scared to I was lose scared, your like, progress.
The only thing I didn't understand was the doctor. When was that happening?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get that.
Not to spoil too much, but yeah, he talks to the main guy.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, actually. It might have been, I guess, yeah, I don't know, before they all get there.
Okay.
To the cabin? I don't, because he's like, I don't know. It seems like it's weird. Because at first you think he's talking to you, like the player, then he's talking to the one of the characters, and it was intense, though. It was cool.
Yeah.
I love the game. I'm glad it's getting good. Hopefully there's a sequel. I'm in that, too.
Oh, nice. Because we'll it seemed like the critics were kind of hating on it earlier. Like, at E3, they were trashing it. And I was to myself, I was like, this looks great. Because I judge horror movies by, if I'm going to see them, by the white girl that's in it. So I'm like, oh, is this girl hot? Do I like her? I'll go see it. I'll check it out.
And that was Hayden Panettiere for
you. Yeah, she's hot. I mean, like, but then she's also an actor I like because I watch Nashville.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me and my dad.
No shame.
And everybody, I don't care. Dude, I live tweet Pretty Little Liars. So my listeners, by this point, they, you know.
That's funny.
I just think it's just fun. And, like, I knew I was keeping her alive. Mm-hmm. Like,
I wonder if she can die. It seems like she's like the main character, the unofficial main character.
Well, if you don't move, if you move, this is gonna
at the end
die.
That, yeah. One, I know what you mean.
And she'll probably bust her. Right? I like how you're not. You're being
political by not
spoiling.
But yeah, the game was originally in development like 2011 for PS3, and for the PS Move,
right?
And they junked the whole thing and redid the entire thing for 4, which I think was a great smart move.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it does look. It's one of the best looking games on the PS4. I think it's incredible.
Oh my god, dude!
So
I'm glad it's getting like.
You should all go out, I'm so glad. You should all go out and get it. If I had a little tiny small part, I'm proud to be had a little part to do. You know, it was fun.
I definitely want to play it again. I will definitely get it. Like if it's like. I'm sure Christmas time it'll probably be like 30 or 40.
Yeah, I'm halfway through another play. Maybe like 40% through another playthrough already.
I want to try to save all of them. Yeah. I looked at YouTube clips of. I had to watch.
What to do?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that, but I just wanted to look at the ending and see what happened.
Okay.
What are you playing now?
Madden.
How is it?
It's boring. It's not a good game. It's just like there's
just
nothing
the
else.
Same.
No, it's like because it's made by EA Sports, which is, and they make Live, but shockingly, FIFA is still one of the best games every year. It's amazing.
Best game ever, yeah.
But Madden's just it's slow. I feel I play a lot of 2K, but
the Madden 2K just, football. Everybody says the 2K that was $20.
There's nothing better than that. But I'm saying, for as far as NBA 2K, it's night and day of how much fun 2K is versus Madden. And I just got Super Mario Maker in the mail the other day, and it's incredible for the Wii U.
Okay.
It's so much fun.
I mean, that game is, like, 2K, and, you know, just talk about something being compelling. There were a bunch of times where I jumped in that game. I was like, oh, my God.
2K? Or on
2K, I get pissed. Like, not throwing a controller pissed, but I'm just like, fuck, and just cursing and stuff. Yeah. But just, The Last of Us. I mean, I would say Until Dawn is the first game in a couple of years where I just played for a long stretch of time.
Feels like, good sometimes.
It's fun to do that. It makes me feel like I'm 12 years old again. And it's good. When I was in Cleveland, I went to this. It's barcade.
I saw that. Yeah, the pictures you put up. Yeah,
it was so much fun. Yeah. I was playing like Simpsons pinball. It's awesome. Almost spent all my money. Play that Ninja Turtles game, and all you have to do, you just go in there, you buy a drink, you can play all the games for free.
Get out of here.
That's it. You just go in there, you buy a drink.
It's incredible.
And it was like Sunday, right before the games were coming on.
So it was empty almost?
It was empty. I played Ninja Turtles and beat it.
They have them all on like free play and you can just, that's awesome.
Only thing you pay for is the pinball.
You ever go to that the pinball place down on like 26th and 3rd in the city?
I've never heard of it at all.
You like pinball?
Yeah, I guess.
Dude, it's like fine. You pay by the hour, which is a great idea for pinball because you can die really fast with pinball and it's annoying as shit.
Yeah.
It has like 40 pinball tables probably, 30 to 40. Jesus. The place, it's like, opened up like last year. It's on like 26th and 3rd. It's called New York Pinball or something like that, but it's awesome. I've been there
like
a couple times.
I kind of feel like pinball is a hustle.
Yeah. That's why this place is good because you pay $8 an hour. You can play every table if you want to.
That's great.
And they got some good ones. They got good new ones, old ones. The Family Guy ones, Simpsons ones, all that stuff.
Wow. Wow, that would be
cool. Let's go sometime.
Yeah, like hell, fun. Dude. I need to do that. I need to hang out more instead of being like a recluse. I can get in my JD Salinger mode sometimes, a lot, without any of the output or great works.
Yeah. you mentioned The Last of Us. That's that and Tomb Raider. The two games that I bought the remastered version of because they were so good.
Oh, you even bought the remastered?
I had them on PS3, beat them, bought them again for PS4 because they're so good. I think the last Tomb Raider was incredible.
Which is why I'm so pissed that
But it'll be out, I think.
But in like another year, or like 8 months,
maybe
or something?
Maybe, yeah. It'll look good. But, you know, it'll be perfected then. It'll be Game of the Year edition. It'll be the deluxe version, so we'll get the better stuff anyway.
I saw maybe a 15 minute, somebody playing like a demo. This had to be probably less than a month ago, and somebody's playing it. It's breathtaking.
Yeah. The last one was so good. I couldn't believe it.
Let me see what you think of this. This is something I've been kind of batting around my head, and I've talked about it on the show before. What do you think about female heroines and how, you know, people, like, you got going in, like, feminism is, I guess, very pervasive and prevalent in, in social media, at least. I don't think if more dudes played some of these games, they'd have a better,
more open-minded to it or something.
Yeah.
So you think guys don't play Tomb Raider just because it's Lara Croft?
No, it's just like, well,
I'm sure there are some.
Okay, this was the first time.
Look, playing that game with a chick.
You know, I played it since the first one. I remember like it was yesterday. I told my dad got off of work, and I told him to get me Tomb Raider. He stopped by KB Toys.
KB, taking it back.
Brought it back, and I was downstairs in the basement, and I'm playing it.
The original PlayStation.
And that, what's the first thing? Is it a T-Rex in that first level comes lumbering at you, or it's a bear?
Right.
And it's just so... People, like Resident Evil is obviously going to give you those scares, but just to... For something like an animal, like a creature that's of the earth to come at you, it's just like, whoa, it's insane. So now with that, so anyway, with that origin story, which I thought was great that they did, you're getting her to become Lara Croft,
right?
And for the first 15 minutes, you're keeping her from being raped.
Yeah.
And it's like, these guys are, come here. And you're running from this guy, and you gotta get, you know, you gotta, she's hungry.
Find an arrow.
You gotta kill something. You gotta kill something. And then by the end of that game, she's grown so much. When she gets that gun, she gets both of those guns, and it's just like, boom, boom.
I should want to play it again now, I think.
It's like, it's so great. And then that was something that kind of, God, opened my mind up. I was never like fucking women, but it was just that was something like, care about her.
Yeah.
I really care about her. So then getting to Beyond Two Souls, which was, I guess, was that 2013 or 20?
Yeah.
So playing that game, you're homeless. Mm-hmm. There's a point in where you're homeless and you're trying to get some food, and there's a guy like, hey, why don't you come around the corner and, give me a blowjob or something. I'm like, no. Like, I'd rather starve, you asshole. And then there's the guy, your love interest, is trying to, and I'm like, I don't want to do anything with you. I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I'm gay. I don't want to, don't touch me.
That's what games make you think now about that shit. It's cool.
Yeah, know? And but I think it's good, and especially The Last of Us. I mean, now you're a dad, but I got into an argument about this on Facebook. The ending, the way that it ends, like, he kills everybody.
Right.
He doesn't... People are saying... See, this is where there's... They take away from the... I guess this visceral... emotional thing where it's like, that's your daughter.
Right.
Ellie is your daughter. And you're gonna try to save her. And... You lie because you have to. This girl is what, 14 years old, and she can't make those decisions on her own. I don't care that it's an apocalypse.
Yeah,
you know.
And she kind of knew he lied.
She knew.
She gets it. So
yeah.
When I finished it for the second time, I was just like,
you played it again?
Yeah. I was just like, God damn, this game was almost perfect. Like, it's literally like one of the most perfect games I've ever played. It's the story, the gameplay, everything about it. It's not, because when you gotta really scavenge for stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you run out of bullets and baseballs, bats, and, yeah. and the cardboard with the 2x4s with the nails on. Like, you got to find that stuff. You're not going to make it. And I thought that was one of my favorite things when I used to tie the scissors onto the end of the baseball bat and just slam someone in the head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to find more bats, so I can just keep doing that, you know?
Dude, like...
The game was great.
Like, I died so many times, and so much so that the computer would say, you know you can
hide.
You
want to skip? Yeah, you want to skip this? Or it gives you,
you know, these are some tips that you yeah. can use. Like, fuck you!
I have a friend that, you know, they only play Madden or FIFA or something like that, and I'm like, dude, it was like, Last of Us was on sale... Just to download for like $13 one day.
Wow.
And I'm like, just get it. Trust me. Because he loves Uncharted also.
Okay.
He's like, oh, I don't know. Is it any good? I'm like, it got 7,000 Game of the Year awards. What do you think? Like,
yeah.
Yes, it's incredible. And he's, yeah. like, oh, I'll try it. I was like.
Did he?
I think he eventually liked it, obviously.
But okay.
Like, but people like that are like, what else do you need? You know? Like,
yeah.
It's just.
It's
all he plays is FIFA. It's like, switch it up a bit, you know? You got a whole great yeah. system for other... a lot of good games out there.
There's so many... like, this game now that they're releasing, like, as an episodic, you should try. Life is Strange.
I like that? Those type of games. I didn't get that. I might wait till they're all...
They're on it.
They release them all. I'll probably get it eventually.
I bought the season pass, yeah. and I just, you know, when I first got it, I think... I was like, okay, I got a little change. I'll get it. That's another one that's kind of like, yeah. you. It's basically like, you're this girl, you're in a, like a Seattle town, Northwestern,
mm-hmm.
Pacific Northwestern town, you're in school, and you find out that you have the power to reverse time and change things, which like, Until Dawn, you can't.
Right.
And so if you mess up, you got a chance, and it's right. like, basically if Veronica Mars found mm-hmm. out she had a superpower. And it's compelling.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's just like, and this is a female lead, and it's just, I don't know, I think if more dudes play, I'm trying to appeal to the chicks here, but I'm just saying that's something that kind of,
well,
the last couple of years, it's just like, man, dudes need to kind of play some of these
yeah.
games.
Well, that one that won the E3 game, most anticipated, Horizon Dawn, it looks like a lady. It looks like Kate from Lost, but she's in like some futuristic land.
Okay.
And she's fighting like robot dinosaurs. And it looked incredible. It looks super cool.
It's out now?
No, it's coming out for PS4 probably next year, I think.
Oh,
it's called what is it? Final Horizon of Dawn. I think Dawn and Horizon are in it. Dawn's Horizon. It's like something like that.
Okay.
I forget the name, but it looks really cool.
Because I saw it.
And actually, the main character is a female in that, too.
Yeah, I mean, I never...
FIFA finally has the women's team.
Yeah.
Also, so...
Is that out now?
Next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next week, 2K is coming out.
I have to know. FIFA might be in 2 weeks. Yeah, 2K is coming out.
Okay.
If your pre-order comes out on the 25th, which I did.
With, like, Jordan on it?
I didn't get the extra edition, but... It's just... If you pre-order, you get it, like, 4 days early.
Isn't it just some bullshit?
It's just, like, the Ultimate Team coins, which you can use in the game, which I barely use.
So I don't do that shit.
Free pair of digital Jordans. Like, you know, some people go crazy for that shit, but...
Yeah.
It's not. I don't care.
Yeah, I guess that stuff's... yeah. I don't know.
And I love indie games, too. That's why I have so many... I mean, the PlayStation Plus is one of the best deals ever.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many indie games which I love that...
Do you have that game...
I wouldn't have tried if it wasn't for that.
Do you have Never Alone?
Never Alone... So far, one of my favorite games this year.
I downloaded it, haven't played it.
Dude,
I heard it was great.
I beat it in one sitting. I didn't stop.
Really?
5-6 hours, plowed through
okay.
it. It was incredible. It was so much fun. It wasn't like fun, like, wow, like a Mario game, but it was just like, wow, this is really cool.
So I got to block out 6 to 8 hours.
Do it this weekend. Trust me, you're going to love it.
I got to clean my apartment. I can't do that. I can't let it go.
You can do it. And, you know, it's cool about it. It tells a story, and it's a true story. Kind of, you know, it's like a tale that these Eskimos told each other throughout hundreds and hundreds of years that passed down, and it's basically the game is you're playing that story, and then there are cutscenes that go to real Inuits that tell this story that they actually interviewed and everything, and it was so interesting, and I was like, this game is awesome. Yeah, I tell everybody about it to try the game out.
Because
I never would if it was free, but I'm so glad I did.
I didn't get it for free. I might have paid $8 for it. But it's been sitting there since February.
Yeah.
And part of me feels like I know once I press play,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let it go.
It's not hard. It's just a fun, really cool, awesome looking game.
Yeah, I found like now that I've gotten old, I'm 35.
Me too.
And I was doing this gig in the Berkshires, and that was like one of my first headlining gigs. Like, I was doing this arts festival, and I just had a good set. But before, I was in Best Buy, and it took so much like willpower to not buy one.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I can't buy one now because I'm going to be at my hotel, so I'm not going to.
A game or just.
The PS4 itself. PS4. Yeah, and because I had seen what had happened. I was talking to a friend down in North Carolina for the show, my podcast, and I didn't know he was a gamer. This guy's one of my favorite musicians, Fonte from Little Brother.
Okay. Or Little Brother.
Yeah, okay. So I'm talking to him, and we're wrapping up, and we're just. I was like, oh, you have a PS4. My listeners probably hate me, but fuck it. Whatever. It's new to you.
Fast forward 2 minutes.
Yeah, so we're hanging. Right, so we're hanging out, and we're wrapping up the conversation. I was like, oh. And he said, yeah, next time we'll have some. I'll cook for you, blah, blah, blah. You can hang out. And I said, oh, you have a. Maybe we can play PlayStation. Is this for your sons or, you know, whatever? He said, well, I play the PS4. And I said, okay, I got to ask everybody that has a PlayStation or PS4. Have you played The Last of Us? 20 more minutes long of a conversation talking about that game. It's just...
It's great.
Yeah.
It's one of the best.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so he put it on. He put on the remastered version, and I'm just like,
yeah,
dude, why did you show me this?
Uncharted 4 is coming out next year, dude. Have you played the Uncharted series?
A little.
All right.
And it's good.
Well, the whole collection's coming out in October.
Yeah.
You need to get that because it's three of the best games I've ever played. And 4 is going to.
But Nathan Drake is not better than Lara Croft.
No. I didn't say that, but the game is just awesome. The games are awesome.
That's another six. What is that going to be, like $70?
No, it's regular 60, I'm sure.
I did see that like an E3 thing, like maybe like nine minutes of it.
It's incredible.
With whatever they were the
truck. Jeep. Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's so awesome.
I was just thinking to myself, and I had bought one. I was like, I had a good set. Yeah. I was driving.
Treat myself.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
And it was my birthday. It was a week before my birthday. Like I got it. I'm doing it. And I texted Fonte. I said, I got a PS4. It's your fault. Because I was like, I'm gonna be good. But dude, I've been enjoying it. I've really been enjoying these games, man. And it's like, it's great. I was thinking about GameFly, but
yeah, like I said, you hardly ever get what's in the top 10 of your queue. So you gotta leave it empty. You just put like one or two things that you want.
Yeah,
you know, it's what it is.
Did you play Metal Gear yet?
No, I never played those games ever. Actually,
I
had the one that they. The last one that they released, it was free. Okay. It was free on PS Plus last month, I think.
Okay.
And I played a little bit. And I'm just like, and then I played the last one for PS3, and I'm just like, it's okay. Like, I know people love them, but I just for some reason I couldn't get into them. I don't know why. I know they're good.
Because
it's one of those things. I just like, you know, I never got into it. That's all.
They were talking about how like one of the characters is like nude all the time, and it's like,
is it Solid Snake?
No, it's a chick, and they're. Pissed off about that. I saw somebody blog about it. But I was looking at it and I was kind of like, yeah, why is she naked? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. But it was just kind of weird. Eventually I'll get it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure I will too. I mean, it's got perfect 10 rating, so it seems like it's incredible.
So enough of the game talk.
Yeah.
Let's talk about where you're from. Are you're from Long Island, right?
Yeah, Massapequa.
What is that like, what's the makeup of that area?
White, usually.
Just
normal
white.
And white and boring. There's nothing
Massapequa.
Special.
Yeah. White.
Yeah.
Suburban.
Yeah. It's nice. My parents are still there. My brothers are still there.
What did mom and dad do?
My mom was nursery school teacher for like 20 something years and a baker. My dad worked for the Verizon, or, you know, Bell Atlantic, IMAX, then Verizon for like 35 years as a lineman. They're both retired.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just they babysit the nieces and the cousins, kids, and all that stuff all the time. That's what they do. Yeah.
What were you like as a kid? I'm assuming, did you play sports? You're a tall guy.
I played basketball. I wasn't really ever good. I was okay. I watched tons of TV and played games and read books. That's kind of it. I barely went outside. I was one of those kids.
You know, I was
quiet. When I started to stand up, my family was like, seriously? They couldn't believe it. You know? Like, I was funny and talking from school, but never in front of my family.
Yeah.
You know?
So you were just kind of like, reserved. Let's open up a little more. So you just as a kid, you were just like a quiet
Yeah, I was the youngest. I had two older brothers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of older cousins. I was kind of like in the middle. I have a bunch of younger cousins, a bunch of older cousins.
But in the McGinnis household, two you were the brothers. Baby.
Yeah.
Now, what was so... You had all the attention, I'm assuming, right?
I mean, eventually, I guess, but I mean, I played with my Ninja Turtles in my room all day. That was like my thing. You know,
I had them too. Yeah. I had the Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. I think when I was about, I think starting from 5 to like 5 years old, I was doing karate, and then 10 years old was like sports. 10 through like maybe 14, 15 when I realized this pro career wasn't going to happen.
I started doing CYO ball.
Yeah, I did CYO.
When I was like, probably started like 13, 14, played. I didn't make the high school team. I should have. I was the tallest one. The
You didn't make it?
No, I tried out once.
And
the coach was like, no, because I wasn't really that good yet. So then I never tried out again. I probably should have kept trying out each year.
How tall are you?
6'6".
6'6", dude, yeah. Like in 14.
Back then I was, in high school, I guess I was like probably 6 foot-ish, I guess, 6'2".
And none of the coaches were looking at you saying,
Then they were like, why aren't you better? It was kind of one of those things. I'm like, sorry. You know, I think they wanted to have me, but...
So it's almost like you were a black guy that couldn't play.
Basically. What the hell's wrong with you, man? You're supposed to be... Yeah, it was kind of like
that. You can't dance? Come on.
Yeah, there were two other guys that were almost my height, and they were good. They were better, so obviously, naturally. But if they took me and worked with me, I probably could have...
Yeah, so they didn't even want to try.
There's one again.
You think they
Unfortunately,
you think if you hit a spurt like that, they would try.
Mm-hmm.
Or even like football.
I wish they did. I played lacrosse for a year in ninth grade, too.
Okay.
Because the health teacher was the lacrosse coach.
Yeah.
He's like, you're so tall. What do you play? I'm like, I try playing basketball. He goes, you play lacrosse? I was like, no, never. He goes, do you want to try out for the team? I was like, I never even thought about it. So my birthday, my mom got me all the... Everything.
Yeah.
The pads, the stick, everything that I needed.
Uh-huh.
My birthday, I was all excited. I remember that first game, I played defense.
Yeah.
That first game, just getting wailed with the lacrosse stick like 3 or 4 times. And I'm like, I don't want to do this ever again. This is
and your
sucks.
Mom hated you after
I
that.
I finished out the season.
Okay.
But I didn't really enjoy it that much. Yeah, I wasn't that good.
Freshman year or so?
It was ninth grade, so yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Like, it was fine, but it wasn't... Nothing I wanted to do long term.
I think as an athlete, I was too heady. Like looking back, I was just too in my head, and it wasn't the right thing. Like,
yeah, when I play now, which is rare, but I was never a scorer in basketball because I was always tall. I always rebounded and blocked. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah,
I never wanted to. I never cared. So I averaged 4 points a game, maybe, but like, you know, 15 boards and 8 blocks, and I was happy as a clam right back then. But,
yeah,
so I never was an offensive threat to anybody. So
your parents never pushed you at all
for basketball? Never. No,
dad never pushed you into sports.
Great. No, my dad only likes wrestling.
Oh,
professional wrestling. That's it.
Wow.
Still,
okay.
It's the only real sport, he says. So he's one of those. Yeah, I watch it too, but I believe in other sports as well.
I was into Hulk Hogan and like, you know, like
until 3 months ago.
No. Like I was just, you know, maybe around like 11 or 12, because I had the toys and stuff,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
I saw No Holds Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, I went Zeus. To the, yeah, I wasn't rooting for Zeus, and he was black. I was like, he's hurting Hulk,
right?
He's hurting him. So I wasn't, you know, I was a fan. Damn, that's good. That could kind of be a bit.
Yeah,
I rooted for Zeus. I didn't root for Zeus. Come
what were your toys back then? I had Turtles, G.I. Joe, Transformers. Oh. I had all that. He-Man.
I had all that. I had G.I. Joe. I'm trying to think of some of my
favorite. I still have all my Turtles in my parents' garage.
Oh, really?
Most of them.
Yeah. I have quite a few.
A lot of stuff still left over, yeah.
I'm trying to think of what... Star Wars, obviously.
Yeah, we grew up the same time.
Yeah, we're both 35.
The same
so.
Toy era, which was great back then.
Do you remember... Yeah, it was awesome. I was getting a gift for a friend's kid, and I just kind of had... It was in Target, and the selection that they had of Ninja Turtles was just insane.
Yeah.
You know Nori Davis?
The comic?
Yeah. He still has a bunch of... Yeah. He went back and got a bunch of, you know, toys and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I had pretty much all... I was spoiled.
Yeah.
I was spoiled until... About 16, when it came, when I could get a job,
right?
Because I wanted a PlayStation.
Yep.
So I worked at Adventure World,
nice.
Which is now a Six Flags mm-hmm. franchise. But yeah, dude, I had the Atari. I had mm-hmm.
I had all the Nintendos.
Yeah,
that was, I didn't even have PlayStation 1, but I had Nintendos growing up. And
I saw on Instagram the I went to this place which is essentially GameStop. This place called The Exchange.
Yeah.
I guess it's a Midwestern Ohio, Pennsylvania franchise that's like GameStop if they sold records and CDs.
Okay.
So they had this one case. I can even show it to you. They had one case of like Nintendo stuff where they had the Nintendo, they had Zelda, they had like...
You go to the place downtown, Video Games New York?
No.
On East 6th?
They have all that?
Dude, all right, we got to go to pinball in this place.
Okay.
So the play, if you walk in, it's the size of maybe my apartment... But they have a billion. They have every system, every game. Yeah, it's awesome. That's cool.
They still were selling Zelda for like $50.
This place sells Rescue Rangers for like $85.
Why?
It's rare and you can't find it. But dude, this place down, it's on East 6th.
Uh-huh.
It's Video Games New York. They have everything you've ever wanted or can ever see video game related. It's wow. awesome. It's incredible. It's like, yeah, I never bought anything there, but you walk in, you're just like, holy cow. It's just like retro
yeah.
craziness.
That would have been trouble if I... Because I think I still have my Nintendo.
Yeah. Do you?
I do. It's at my mom's house.
I kind of wish I did. I mean, you can download half the stuff on the Wii.
You know? Oh, you can?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not the same.
It's not the same. I mean, it is, but...
It is, but it is.
It actually works all the time versus blowing in it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just cool to have.
Yeah. That was pretty cool, though, man. Like, those
you
games...
Gotta, you got to check the store out, though.
Yeah, those... Yeah. I had a buddy that had all would get all those games. Like, I would get them... I was spoiled, but I would get stuff like if I had a good report card or...
Yeah.
Or all
yeah,
that, you know.
I would do that. Yeah.
You know, I went to Catholic school. You get a good report card, you like...
Where'd you grow up?
Maryland. Okay. Right outside of D.C.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... So you do those... your journals, you post your old...
Yeah.
What is that? Is that just... You just naturally kept one?
No, my mom, I think last Thanksgiving, found... giant box of all my stuff mm-hmm. from basically my entire life. My birth certificate up until like college.
Wow.
Report okay. cards. Like she had everything. I was, this is ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And I found these journals and I'm looking through them. I'm like, I remember this stuff. I said, we have to write stuff from like, probably like eight or nine years old, like second and third grade.
Yeah.
We have to just write a thought for the day. And mm-hmm. most of mine are just stupid, dumb things.
Do you put that on Instagram and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I found out I thought it would be funny to put them online, and people seem to like them. They're just really ridiculous, some of the things I would say as a kid.
What are some of the...
Well, I hate baseball now, and it's so funny. I'm going through this. I love the Mets phase when I was 8 years old. And I'm like, mm-hmm. no, how could that be? Because I can't
Well, you know what? Because
now.
Daryl Strawberry was around.
Right?
Dwight Gooden.
He was 88 and 89. Yeah.
I kind of gave up. I used to like... Baseball, to me, was one of the most fun sports to play.
I didn't know any better. You know, my family never watched basketball or football, so I didn't really know about it or get into it
wow.
until I was, like, one day sitting home when I was, like, 10 or 11. I saw a basketball game. I was like, this is awesome. What is this? And then Penny came and changed my life.
Yeah. It's crazy because as far as baseball, like, I grew up... Cal Ripken was right. playing, you know? He's still playing, isn't he? He's like... It was something about, to me, that marked, and I will go to my grave saying this, you know, when people talk about loyalty, they talk about the team, like, he stayed with that franchise. And then around, like, 1991, when I saw Joe Montana on the cover of the Sports Talks football for Genesis with a Chiefs jersey on, I was like, okay, then all this, I mean, it's a business, and when they're done with you, they're done with you. And if it could happen to Joe Montana, it could happen to anybody.
That's true.
And it happened to Michael Jordan. Yeah. So I don't get... Like, it's just like goes back to that Jalen Rose thing. Like, people don't know their history. They don't... Like,
I had to... My one cousin who's 21 or 22. I had to tell him to go look up White Chocolate Jason Williams.
Yeah.
And go look up some Penny highlights on YouTube. He got back to me after he looked up Jason Williams, he goes, holy cow, this kid's good.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's 42 and he's still doing it in these summer leagues. Mm-hmm. You see?
Yeah, I saw that clip.
Dude, this stuff, man, he's like killing it.
Yeah.
These 20-year-olds, and it's just like awesome. But yeah, man, I'm big on the... That's why I love the old school hip-hop, too, and I hate the new stuff.
We'll get into that. Do you ever... Do you have NBA, the NBA channel?
NBA TV?
Yeah. I really love that show, Open Court.
It's awesome.
It's the best.
So good.
That's my favorite sports show.
It's on randomly, but I have it set on my DVR, so when I see it pop up and know, I'm like, oh, awesome, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's great. Because awesome. You get to hear those guys, like, you. I guess it gives them a personality, like hearing Chris Webber talk about, because he was one of my favorites, him and Penny, and to just hear him talk about, like, going to Sacramento, and then he knew, like, I think it was when Doug Christie left.
Yep.
When they traded him, he said, "We're not winning anything else."
Yep. And you would have thought of all the guys, you would think Doug Christie. I remember how good he was. People forgot.
And
Doug Christie was solid, man.
He said something like, he showed him where all the takeout spots were, like the food restaurants, where to get a haircut or something like that. And it was just like really, I mean, it was great. And to hear him like talk about, like, because you would never know. Like, Grant Hill hosted him. In Virginia, I guess.
Like, I love hearing that. Steve Smith knew all these guys back in high school.
Yeah.
All that type of stuff.
And they all knew each other.
I love how you hear them all look up to Isaiah like he's a god.
Yeah.
And we, as Knicks fans, you kind of hate Isaiah a little bit, you know. But as a player, holy shit, man. There's almost no one better.
It's go ahead.
Yeah, and the what if stuff. Like, what if this didn't have, you know, Penny always comes up from with those guys. Like, who's the best point guard you play with? And Shaq always mentions Penny. And what if he never got hurt? People like, he would have been one of the best ever. And I still believe it. But
it's kind of like the Bo Jackson of basketball.
Yeah.
Well, that was probably a wake-up call for me. That I was upset. I think I might have cried when he got hurt.
Yeah, Bo Jackson.
Yeah. Just, you know, those guys, to me, were maybe, you know, and not to really, no, I'm not going to say it. I'll say it, but not to, like not making fun of comic book nerds or anything, because a lot of my friends are comic book nerds.
I know many comic book friends.
I know quite a few of them. Those guys were my superheroes. Yeah. Those guys, like,
I read comics. I read a shitload of comics.
Did you do football cards, baseball cards,
basketball? I had baseball cards as a kid because my family loved the Mets. And most of the basketball cards were just Penny. I would go to the store and get Penny cards.
I was obsessed,
buy them, like individually. Yeah,
I would do that too.
I had Garbage Pail Kids. I had comic book cards, like Marvel Masterpieces. Remember those things? I had that set. They were like painted. They're awesome cards of, like, you know, like really nice paintings of comic books. I had those type of cards, like trading cards like that.
That's sort of like a dying, what do you call it? It's not a dying breed, it's just like
it's a
hobby or?
Yeah, I guess.
I see some card shops, or like a Target always had, every Target you go
like
into.
Like a vending machine, right?
Has that, not even the vending machine, they just have a section where they just have.
Oh, yeah.
They have the boxes out there.
I used to love, I remember the first time I bought a box of Ninja Turtles cards.
Wow.
When I was like 10, I had like 10 bucks for something. My mom let me go buy a box of turtle cards.
What were the cards like?
It was from the movie. They were like from the movie. It had the gum in it. They were like stickers also.
Like tops and all?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I was obsessed with
everything Tops did.
Well,
they did
Upper Deck was the best.
Upper Deck for
Upper
for
Deck,
sports.
They were sexier. Yeah.
For Tops, sports. Like for random stuff. The Garbage Pail Kids and all that sort of stuff they did, yeah.
Tops, I think... I was trying to think if Score was a subsidiary of Topps, but I think it might have not have been. But dude, like I used to when my parents are from North Carolina. Whenever we'd visit our grandparents, oh really?
Mm-hmm.
What part?
Richfield.
Where is that at?
It's a little thing in the mountains, like an hour from Charlotte, type of place.
Okay,
a little tiny town.
Okay, that's a little further down.
It's further out there.
Flea market. Like, I would love to go to the flea market. Not Toys R Us.
Right.
The flea market.
The dirty ass flea market.
They had cards. They had.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Do you remember, like, the Beckett football card monthly?
No.
You weren't as intense as I was.
Yeah.
That was my. That's. I was a big nerd about.
Yeah.
About that stuff. But just getting back to, like, that loyalty stuff, it's just people get so shocked. And so upset, like, that LeBron went to, you know, Miami.
It was just the way he did it. It was such a weird, stupid thing that nobody's ever done that before. And the ego that goes along with that is just like, who do you think you are? Like, who gives a shit where you're going? Just go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was the whole thing. He didn't tell Cleveland and just let, like, that whole thing. It was a weird. And he truly thinks now he shouldn't have done this.
He does,
way,
definitely. Yeah. I spoke to him.
Yeah, so, but like, you know, but you got to give it to guys like Kobe and Duncan that never leave, man.
You know they wanted to get rid of Kobe.
I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think he hijacked the team?
I don't think so. You don't let someone like that go for what he's done. And
they shouldn't.
Yeah, they shouldn't. You know, and Jordan, it's not like they let him go. He left and went. It's not like it was a different thing.
They're famous for not wanting to pay anybody.
Yeah.
I think Chicago, as a sports town, the Reinsdorf, they own the Bulls and the... Don't they own two? The Sox, probably. I guess? They don't want to pay anybody. Yeah. But
the guys who stick around a long time, I like that.
Yeah. It's almost like a thing of the past now.
That's why.
LeBron was one of the biggest in recent. But definitely. Just like free agency, it happens. I mean, if you're our age,
yeah.
You can't be shocked at somebody going to a new team.
No, it just seems out of control now when guys do want to team up together and do this buddy buddy thing. It's just like, well, I mean. There's so many good teams that I never got anywhere, like the Knicks back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Could never.
That's another thing.
Couldn't make over this hump because it was that team, and they built that team to try to win without getting, hey, let's get this guy and this guy and this guy. And it's just like things like that kind of bug me nowadays, but it happens all the time.
Who was it that said on. Somebody said this recently where. I think maybe that. Did you hear that Shaq and Kobe interview on his podcast?
Yeah,
it's kind of fluffy.
I read bits and pieces of it.
I listened to it. It's kind of fluffy. They get along with each other.
It's so blown out of proportion. They hate each other. No, they don't hate each other.
But even back then, that's not that long ago. We're talking 15 years ago. Yeah. Less than that.
04 he left.
So 10 years ago, guys weren't buddy buddy with each other. Like these guys will play each other. Like Chris Paul will play LeBron and
then go to dinner with each other. I hate that actually. Yeah. I hate it. And Jordan would never go to dinner with his own teammates, I don't think. You know what I mean? Like he hated his own teammates.
We just wanted to win.
We
just found out about him being an asshole at that Hall of Fame induction. Yeah. So and nobody
people knew. I think people kinda had
people knew.
It came out like wow. Okay.
Like Cosby. People knew.
Yeah.
People knew. Yeah. But they didn't say anything.
And that's the thing too. People go, Kobe's such a dick. Like, do you have any idea what Jordan would do to these guys? Like, that's why they won. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the buddy buddy thing is a little. I think that's why. I don't know. Like, guys should hate each other. Guys, players hate each other in the 90s. You kidding?
Yeah.
Like it was awesome. That's when I grew up with basketball in the 90s, and I just loved it.
Yeah.
And I love watching the old stuff from the 80s. I watch old games all the time on NBA TV.
Yeah.
And I see them on, like, highlights of like 86 game Lakers and sell them. Like, this is awesome. This is so much fun to watch.
I gotta start doing that more.
They play them all the time.
My
hardwood classics, they play them all the time. During the offseason especially. It's awesome.
My dad and I used to watch. We used to get the WGN feed and watch all
Chicago
the
records. Games.
Yeah. And nobody... for some reason, they took it away. Mm. And that's how I fell in love with Jordan, because you could see him all the time.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, they got the ticket and everything. That's just too much.
Yeah, there's enough games on NBA TV or TNT. You don't need to get the other stuff. Plus, living here with the Knicks, unfortunately, I can watch them. But there's plenty of games on every day that I feel like every night that I'll need to get the NBA ticket. So I would if I live somewhere else.
So you're a diehard Knicks fan?
Yeah.
You said it. Like, yeah. Do you know, I had a rapper, Sky Zoo, on. Do you know Sky?
Did I send you his Penny thing?
Is that the first time you heard about him?
Yeah.
With those? Okay, cool. I think he's great. And he was saying, like, I went to go see him at the Blue Note, I want to say late June. He had a killer show with the live band, amazing. And just a really cool, down-to-earth guy. And so he just had this amazing show, and somebody mentioned the Knicks to him, the draft, because it had just happened. He was just like, oh, they should have got Moutier. And
I'm fine with Porzingis.
You're fine with him?
I mean, could he be the next Dirk? 5% chance?
Uh-huh.
And wouldn't that be worth it?
Yeah.
To have one of the greatest players ever. Like,
sure.
Eventually, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
He's skinny, so what? Most, you know, Durant was a twig when he came in.
Yeah.
Kenny was a twig.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe was, you know, a lot of guys, but he'll be fine. He's 7'3", and he's athletic. He can shoot. He can run the floor. So.
Didn't he have a game where he, like, preseason, yeah, obviously a rookie.
In the summer league, yeah.
And he did well. Like, he blocked who's the top guy?
Okafor, twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, the guy can play, man. Give him a freaking, he's 19 or something. Give him a chance, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm all in on Porzingis. I think he'll be fine.
I'm just kind of, I want LeBron to get this chip.
AIDS? What do you say?
Wow.
Oh, sorry.
I want LeBron to get the chip to complete this narrative for Cleveland.
No.
No?
Never.
Wow.
Never, ever, ever.
You know, you're just cold-blooded. Yeah. See, you're just a cold-blooded diehard Knicks fan, though. I kind of don't care.
Yeah. I'm a LeBron hater, too.
You are.
I'm proud of it. But it's not like, you know, I'm not like... I'm irrational, like, but I know what I'm doing.
You're irrational, but you want him to get AIDS.
No, I'm irrational. Brian, come on. I'm irrational. I know, like, when I say he's one of the worst ever, I get what I'm saying. I know he's not, but I say he sucks, you know, but...
You're not like the people when I go to a... I went to a...
But I hate everything about him, just so I get to make that clear.
Like, going to a game, I was at a Giants game last year. I went to a preseason game.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and, like, Eli throws a bad pass.
Never.
And they're like, Eli sucks.
Really?
I'm like, he won you 2 Super Bowls. Calm down. Let him warm up.
I mean, I could go on for 9 days about Eli, who's my second favorite person on the planet.
Okay, but so you're – what about that play?
One bad play.
No, I'm just saying, like, how do you feel? What's your take on it?
I came to bed shaking, and Sam was like, what's wrong? What are you gonna? Are you mad at me? I said, I don't want to talk about it. I was shaking because that's how mad I was at that game. Mm. It was a dumb play. He played, and I was literally, I drafted a tweet like, one day you motherfuckers will understand the genius of Eli.
When he's gone.
Yes, and then I had to delete it soon because I didn't send it because he played so good that game because nothing was really working.
Mm-hmm.
But he controlled that game so well, I thought, you know? And it was just, I mean, it was one play, it sucked. It happened. I tried to move on so fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He won 2 Super Bowls.
I know. What the hell else do you need?
Yeah.
You need something? Yeah. Like, what else? I mean, yeah. When they signed up for 4 more years, I was like, thank God. Like, I want to
He should finish as a
Dude, guy. He's going to. There's no way he's not. The amount of people that... the 27 teams would kill for the stability at quarterback the Giants have had for the past... What's the fucking 14 years already? You know what I mean? Like, they would kill for that. Every team, there's been, like, hundreds of starting quarterbacks since he started. And he's never missed a game. It's like, what else do you want from the guy?
Is their line in trouble? Is the line bad?
Always. Our secondary has been in trouble for years. They're finally a little better. The line's young. So, we'll see what happens. We had a consistent line for 6-7 years straight.
Yeah.
Solid. And now injuries, and they're old, and now the newer guys, so... It takes time, man. Football is fucking hard. You know what I mean? It's a hard fucking sport.
Now, how do you feel about JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul?
It's stupid.
Did you see the hand?
I didn't.
Well, it's out there.
I know it's out today. I didn't want to look on purpose.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
I'll finally look at it. We'll riff a little bit.
Yeah. When I heard about it, I was like, oh, my God. And then I hear, oh, no, he's fine. Then I hear 3 days ago the Giants are furious of how gross his hand looks. And then he says that he's kind of being a dick, too. He's like, yo, I never got a sack from my index finger. And then it's like, the Giants like, well, we're not going to... It's like all this money talk and everything. I'm like, just sign the freaking thing.
I hope he can get... It's a stupid thing.
It's stupid. It on himself. Right.
But you don't want to see a guy...
No.
That's his livelihood.
Especially who was one of the best players at his position in the entire league.
Yeah.
It was just like... I'm not going to say classic Giants because, again, we have won a couple recent Super Bowls. But, yeah, so...
Brian is looking at the photo now.
Looks like a weird baby hand type of situation there, but he can still play.
I feel like he can still play.
He's gonna play
because there's been guys that had the club thing on,
dude,
have
right?
Broken
and it's
hand.
Like, he'll be.
They can do something. Like I want this. I want
him
to play.
Is this too loud? If we have that going during the...
Oh, I don't. I've done with louder.
You think so?
Are you getting hot?
I am. Are you?
I'm good.
I turned it off just because I'm...
Okay. No, we'll be fine.
We'll be okay.
We've been going for like an hour.
Okay.
I do want to talk, and then we'll want to talk about... I mean, however long... I don't care how long it goes.
I'm fine.
We can do a few more. I want to talk about... Let's talk a little bit about comedy. So, you're this quiet guy, and your parents are like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You're doing... You want to do stand-up. You went to school at Hofstra.
Actually,
at
Hofstra.
Where is that? Long Island?
Hempstead. Yeah.
So you just stayed in Long Island.
Yeah, I did. I never wanted. The only other school I think applied for was Seton Hall.
Okay.
I don't even know why in Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And then I think they said yes. Hofstra said yes. I'm like, I'll just stay home at Hofstra. No
did
big
you
deal.
Stay on campus?
No. I live 15 minutes from there.
What is it like just staying? Like, have you ever lived anywhere else?
Yeah, I actually lived in Maryland for a summer.
Okay.
In Columbia. I lived in Jersey for 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
What part of Jersey?
Wayne.
Oh, yeah. That's where I got my car.
Yeah. And then as soon as I was done with the job I had there, I came right back to New York. I hated Jersey. I was in sales before stand-up.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of?
Cutco, knife sales.
Oh, really?
Did that for 6 years.
Wow.
I was a sales rep, then I was a district manager. I ran two counties in Jersey.
Jesus. I would never peg myself as a salesman, and I just couldn't. I had the interview like when I didn't know what it was.
Everyone had the interview with Cutco.
And like I remember going to like near like BWI airport in outside of Baltimore. And they had this music playing.
When what year was this?
Had to be 01 or 02.
Was it a Filipino guy?
I don't remember.
Jeff Gamboa, that's my friend he ran Baltimore for a long time, but now I think he's in Miami now.
Is he still selling knives?
Yeah.
It must be lucrative.
I made good money.
Made some money?
Yeah, I made a lot of good money. And then I was just getting bored. I was doing it for so long, working like literally 15, 16 hours a day.
Jesus.
I had no life. I was in my office all the time. So it was fun, but eventually it was just like, I'm just fucking done with this. And then my boss then, who's still one of my really good friends now, said, just try stand-up. You always wanted to.
Wanted to?
Well, you know, I would give talks in front of 300, 400, 500 sales reps.
Okay.
Serious, like, sales stuff, but then I would always have...
sales stuff,
yeah,
guys.
I would always have the fun talk at the meeting. Yeah. People would know I would have the funny talk, so I was a fun, cool guy, you know?
Yeah.
I could
see you as a salesman.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah. And then, first time I finally did, like, a new talent night at Rascals in Montclair. It's not there anymore.
It's not there anymore. Right across the street from the Claridge, the movie theater.
There was one in West Orange. That's not there. The one in Montclair might still be. I don't think
it's there anymore.
Yeah, maybe not.
Because I would know about it. They'd be doing stuff there.
Yeah. So did a new talent night. I had like 35 friends come.
Uh-huh.
And it went like well. I was like, this is pretty cool. That first laugh I got, I was like, you know what it's like. That first laugh you get, you're addicted. And then I did like new talent nights every other week.
So were you 24?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I got into Gotham early on. I did bringer shows at Gotham literally for like 2 years every 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
I had enough friends. I was lucky.
You had a lot of friends?
A lot of people that wanted to come. I did tons and tons of bringers at Gotham. That's how I got started.
Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And you just kept at it. Are you still doing... You're still doing it, right?
Yeah, but it took, you know, baby stuff.
Obviously.
I took my foot off the gas purposely and...
Because I remember when we did the last time I saw you was like JL's album.
Yeah.
We did that Breaking Bad sketch, and you were just like, comedy.
It gets to you.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I'm more.
It's starting to.
You know, I'm more picky and choosy.
Sure.
Kind of stuff. I'm not the guy anymore that got to get out 3 times a night. I used to be. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I get nothing out of that anymore. So
right.
I like being home.
Now, when did you meet your wife? When in your journey did you meet your wife?
7 or 8 years ago. She just moved here. I was working at Olive Garden in Times Square.
Okay.
It was her first day on the job. We met.
And you were like, hey, I can get you some breadsticks.
I can get you some knives.
Were you doing knives?
No.
Okay.
But, just like kind of became good friends, and now we got a baby. Who I talked her into naming her Penny, which is pretty amazing, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because of Penny.
Short for Penelope?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I always joke, like, if I have a girl, can we name her Penny? She goes, yeah, of course. I thought she was kidding. She loved the name Penelope, so...
Yeah.
I'm shocked that I have a kid named Penny. It's like the perfect circle.
Oh, that's cool.
It's awesome.
that's dope, man. You got a dope wife, then.
Yeah.
Now, were you just like... So you left. What's the timeline? So you're doing Cutco.
Yeah. It was 04. Literally like a month later.
Okay.
After the first time on stage, I quit my district manager job.
Wow.
Stayed with the company for a few more months just doing other stuff to help, you know, do stuff.
Yeah.
And then came back here, moved back to New York, and started working at Olive Garden like a month later.
Okay.
Just to...
What was that like?
It was fun, man. It was fine.
Like, as a waiter?
Yeah, it was the one right in Times Square. It's constantly busy. You meet a billion different people a day.
Are they shitty tippers?
No.
Okay.
They can make a decent money, $300-$400 a night sometimes.
Wow,
it was fine.
And where were you living?
I was with a friend in Rockaway Beach.
Okay.
I lived there for a couple
years.
How far
is that?
Far. It's the end of the A-line.
Is that
or
like
the beginning.
How far from here?
there's no direct route from here because it's the other part of Queens. It's because
I've heard of it.
Driving would probably take 40 minutes. But on the train to Times Square, it would take me about an hour and a half.
Okay,
to get there.
But at least you got your money's worth. If you got your money's worth, if you're making 3-4 a night.
Yeah, no, it was. I loved it there. It was right on the beach. It was a cool place. And then when me and Sam finally wanted to move in together, we moved to Roosevelt Island. We were there.
How was that?
It was great. We loved
it. I've never been
there. It's a weird place. But it's cool, yeah.
I heard, like, the food's great there.
There's really nothing there.
Like, the restaurants aren't awesome?
No.
What was the move? That's not the same as City Island, is it?
No.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking.
Roosevelt's a little thing where the tram goes to.
Is that where they do the concerts and stuff?
No, that's Randall's Island.
Jesus.
Or Governor's Island.
Governor's, okay.
There's a lot of islands here, yeah.
There was a... What's the movie with Andy Garcia? It was called City Island. Maybe. I think it's Andy Garcia and Juliana Margulies.
Yeah.
And he's like... I forget what he is, but he's just this regular working class dude. Then he wants to be an actor. I don't want you to think I'm stupid. But it made me think...
I didn't see it.
I'll have to... All right. Well, so it's not that place then. Okay. No. All right.
But yeah, then we moved here in October.
Okay. This is nice. This is like... It's like in the city. It's city, yeah. But it's still... It's kind of like an escape.
Yeah, Forest Hills is cool. Because a lot of families here. It's nice.
Because it's sure enough annoying in traffic. Like, I'm just like, yelling at somebody. And then to come up here, it's more like... It's serene.
You got Cam Newton as your phone wallpaper.
Black quarterbacks, man.
Does it change every day?
Well, it really does change. This week is Tyrod Taylor on the lock screen, and Cam Newton.
That's hilarious.
It was just NFL. Their Instagram. I just thought it was a cool picture.
That is good, actually. Yeah.
For a while, it was Penny. I'll show you the picture. Yeah, like it was him.
For those that don't know, just go to YouTube and look up Penny Hardaway highlights. There's like a 10-minute clip that'll blow your mind. I cry sometimes when I still watch those things.
Oh, really?
That's how good he was, man. You remember.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Well, I remember, you know, especially like Bulls versus Lakers, you know, like for Genesis. And like it was him and Shaq. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, that's the best.
Yeah, if they stayed together, I mean, it's not definite, but I mean, they made the finals their second year. Together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like the fact that
what used to be.
Do I remember that fucking
over
game?
A team.
I know every like I flash back to everything. My wall when I was a kid was just I printed. I used to go through ink in my printer. I create. My mom didn't know why.
Yeah.
I would print up full color pictures of Penny from AOL.
Yeah.
Every day, and they were plastered all over my wall. I had my trading cards hanging up.
Yeah.
And Penny pictures and like a. I forget what else. But that's probably it. Like,
I love
my entire wall.
Sports like that. That. I just try not to see yours. I feel like I kind of envy your passion, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, I could go without it. I'm kind of glad. Because you get too emotionally invested, and it's like, I kind of just want to be like, Sundays, I have Twitter open.
You can't have fun. If
you're in red zone.
Right.
But I do get emotional with black quarterbacks. So that's even another level. So I still have a foot in the...
With the Knicks, I don't get emotional anymore because I know they're going to be really bad for a while. You know what I mean? I'm pissed off at how they won 53 and then 17. Like, that's retarded. That shouldn't happen.
That's weird.
But I get I don't get emotional. Like, the Giants, I still expect them to be really good. So that affects me more.
What's your take on Melo? Like, are you just...
I love Melo, man.
Are you not like, he took the money, they could have got somebody else?
No, because people say, oh, he should have waited, but it's not a fact that he would have come anyway. He probably would have, but it's not a given that Wilson Chandler and what's his name, the tall Italian kid, Gallinari, and all those guys would have stayed.
Right.
He's like, oh, we traded, but all those guys, they're not like star players. They're replaceable. They're good players, but it doesn't matter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anytime you get a chance to get a top 10 guy, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. In this league. You know what I mean? That's the only way you can win.
Yeah.
The 0-4 Pistons are not a thing anymore. That's not going to happen. Whereas guys that were a bunch of, like, just good players that played great as a team are going to win a title. It's not going to happen anymore.
So you don't think he's like a black hole that just kind of sucks?
Not at all. He gets shit on a lot, man. But the guy tried it. I mean, what else could he have done? You know what I mean? Like, he was still scoring 30 a night. Like, oh, we can't. he doesn't play defense. Well, people can't defend him, for one thing, and he does play defense. Yeah. There are five good defenders in the league. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like everybody plays great defense. There are five good defenders. So people like, Melo doesn't play defense. Durant doesn't play defense.
Tony Allen and who else?
Tony Allen, Thabo Sefolosha. You know what I mean? There are guys like that.
Draymond
Green.
Kawhi. That's kind of it.
See what I mean? But there are 50 guys that can score 50 a night.
How many guys have that lockdown icon on 2K?
Not many.
I don't think not that many, right?
Not many.
Well, let's do this. Let's talk hip-hop and we'll close it out. Like,
yeah.
I did a pod with JL and we were debating Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
He does not like anybody that's popular.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know
in any genre of any entertainment.
Yeah, and he doesn't know anything about hip hop.
No, he doesn't.
Al Gore. I love the guy, very smart. He loved his takes on stuff like Ferguson, Black Lives Matter, immigration, whatever. Smartest guy. One of the smartest guys I know.
With such a curmudgeon.
Doesn't know shit about hip hop. But he did say in our conversation that you were a De La Soul guy. Is that your favorite?
I got
of all
the sneakers
time?
The other day.
Okay.
On eBay. Best things I've bought.
Yeah. Why De La? They're Long Island guys, right?
Yeah. I met them all at separate times.
Yeah.
I used to work at Tower Records in Massapequa.
Okay.
Back in 99.
What was that like?
It was awesome, man.
Okay. That's got to
be. People think we're like Empire Records, like that movie, remember?
Yeah.
It was
fun.
I mean, you know, we had a couple celebs just pop in every night. Chuck D came in a couple times. You know, people like that. Prince Paul. And De La Soul and a bunch of guys.
So you got the hookup on everything.
I got a lot of promos back then. I used to get free stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I'm one of the few people in the world who has You God's man child.
Okay.
No, sorry, Shaheem's man child. Shaheem the Rugged Child, remember him?
Yeah.
Like the little kid from Wu-Tang.
Who did he use? He used to do stuff with
Wu-Tang, but then he had an album. He had one song, but then he had released an album that was terrible. I got the promo, but it never was released because it was so bad. But I'm one of the few people who had that crappy album.
Shaheem. I remember him, but I don't remember.
He also did a song with Big Daddy Kane. It was like a live, remember? He did something like that. But yeah, but anyway.
You might be more of a head than I am.
I think I am. I used to be told by many black folk that I had a sick CD collection.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm mainly an R&B guy.
Yeah.
And I think.
Damn right you are.
When I got to. College, it was more like I'd always Tribe Called Quest. Like, I would say, well, my top Q-tips in my top. So, my top five. Well, let's do this.
Okay.
Do you give me your top? I'll give you my top five. You give me yours.
Top five, what
MCs.
Okay. Lyricists? Like, is that like just
whatever
right,
your
whatever
favorite? So, I'll give you
interpret.
Mine.
Okay.
I go Black Thought.
Mm-hmm.
To me, is the best to ever do it. Q-tip, because he was the gateway to like a lot of the people that like now. Mos Def, Common, and Fonte.
Okay.
So those are my five.
I'm going to go with. It's hard. It's hard to.
It's always hard making a list.
Like, I can do groups.
Whatever you want to do.
Let's start with that. So it's De La.
Okay.
And I think they're both so equal, Pos and Dave.
Yeah.
As far as how good they are. Tribe and Public Enemy are always tied for my number two.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chuck D is probably the coolest person on earth.
Okay.
You know what I mean? One of the most underrated MCs ever is CL Smooth. I think he's so good, man. His rhymes are ridiculous. If you really listen to his stuff.
I can't say that I'm a scholar on his stuff. So
the Main Ingredient is an incredible album.
Okay.
So go listen to that one. Jeez, I don't. Big Daddy Kane.
Okay, yeah.
Is always. I still, you know, blows my mind the stuff he used to do back then, how good he was.
He did a record with Little Brother, like, on the Chitlin circuit. Like, it's like a mixtape.
Yeah.
He's in Durham now. He was in Durham.
Really?
Back. Yeah.
Dude, Kane's awesome, man. My fifth one. Out of all the, if I wanted to go West Coast, Ice Cube was always one of my favorites.
Did you see Straight Outta Compton?
Loved every second of it.
God, that was so good.
So good.
That was, to me, that was the best superhero movie of the year. I will put my money down on that.
It was
so much fun.
So good, man. I couldn't believe how good it was. I'm just sitting there every song that came on, I just wanted to stand up and start rapping and with the crowd. You know, it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, like that. I enjoy. Now again, I'll say that I wasn't the biggest NWA fan. I remember Compton City G's when Eazy-E was going after Dre.
So you know the radio version.
Well,
it's real motherfucking G's.
Well, I remember that.
Keep it real, sometimes. Yeah, Compton City. I remember
that video. Was it video? The box, and that would be the one. Yeah. Dude, I remember one time because I used to record those videos.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I used to record like Encyclopedia Brown or some shit on there. I remember I brought it to school, and I think at one point the We Want Eazy video came on, and I was like, "Oops,
that's awesome."
I didn't really get in trouble, but
it's like the only clean song he's ever done, We Want Eazy, so you're probably safe, right? Yeah, my middle brother Kevin, he got me into hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
He was listening to it when I was, I guess, 10 or 11, so he was like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And I remember always just hearing it through his door in his room.
Right.
This stuff, I used to listen to like Poison and like, you know, Pearl Jam back in the day. And then all of a sudden I hear like, you know, first stuff he was listening to was NWA, Beat Nuts.
Yeah.
Onyx, stuff like that. And I'm like, this stuff's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
And then I myself got into Public Enemy and Gangstar and Tribe. I actually got into De La a couple years after that for some reason. You know, I just never got their albums. And when I finally did, I was like, holy shit, this stuff's just the best. It just makes me happy. Listen,
sure.
I can listen to 100 Miles and Running with NWA and feel just as awesome listening to Saturdays from De La. Just a fun, happy ass song. You know what I mean?
So, that makes sense.
But I do only. I'm very snobbish too with the old school versus new school stuff.
Well, I still want to go dwell in the old school a little bit. I think those, like, for me, it was Tribe, and then Straight Outta Compton kind of had me thinking back in my mental Rolodex.
Yeah.
First CD that I ever bought was, I think I bought a Boyz II Men Christmas album, and I bought Midnight Marauders.
My first CDs with Midnight Marauders and It Takes a Nation and a Fear of a Black Planet.
Okay.
Again, my first two CDs I ever bought.
And it was just like, because that was a CD, you could go switch the tracks. Yep. And so I was kind of like mainly R&B. I had Fresh Prince tapes and R&B, Fresh Prince, Tribe. And I knew who, like maybe like eighth grade, because see, Snoop was the guy. I always say Snoop was the guy that was the gateway for me into the West Coast.
Uh-huh.
Because Dre was a little older, and Chronic was good, and I would not consider myself to be a scholar of that, but it was Snoop, because he was charismatic, he could rhyme, and then it was like Warren G, MC8, Spice One, all that West Coast stuff. And then when I got to ninth grade, guys were like, we're Redman, Method Man, Eric Sermon, Keith Murray.
Yep.
And to me, Keith Murray was the guy.
Really?
Because he used the
Out of all of them, you liked him.
Out of all the guys, it was the most beautiful
Redman
thing.
Redman was my guy out of that crew. Like,
yeah.
By far. I love
that. They had that group, El Nino.
Def Squad, yeah.
Was the record was Red, the album was Def Red, Squad. Yeah. It was Red, Keith, and Eric Sermon. Sermon.
Yeah. The
oh my God.
My friend gave me a 36 Chambers tape.
Okay.
Before I got on the bus in ninth grade or eighth grade, he goes, "Dude, check this out." I remember putting it on, and when Bring the Ruckus came on, I literally almost fell off my chair. I was like, "What?" I lowered it so my parents wouldn't hear. You know, bring them up. I was like, "What is this? This is incredible!" And RZA is just getting all mad and everything.
Yeah.
And Ghostface starts off. Oh my God!
See,
like that changed everything.
I knew. See, ODB and Method Man were the two guys.
This was before they were. This was like before Wu-Tang was. This was like a bootleg tape.
It was a bootleg
of Wu-Tang that a friend of mine got from someone else. It was before the album came out or something.
Okay,
because it was like super fresh. I'm like, wow, this is good.
Yeah,
yeah, that blew my mind.
I did not. I wasn't familiar with them that much.
Right,
I mean, I just knew Method Man because he was a star.
Right,
and then ODB did his thing. And that's what everybody liked. But I was just, around that time, mainly R&B, dude. And then college was like, whoa, I'm in China. Like, was it? Then it was Nas. Like, then, like, Jay-Z and The Roots. And then it became, then Mos Def kind of was the dude for me.
I I'm in such a minority with this, and I think Nas is very overrated, actually. I'm one of the probably one of the only people ever to say that.
I don't think he's overrated. I think it's just like Illmatic was so great.
It was.
And so he never great. And it was unfair for him to live up to that.
Thank you.
I have
people never say that, but that's exactly what happened.
I have this running joke that Nas picked beats like Jennifer Aniston picks movies. Because like Jennifer Aniston to me, like she's likable. Like you want her to win. Like, I always liked her. Nas, same thing. The guy's got talent. It took... God, I think... Okay, so Illmatic, and then I Am
was garbage.
Was that the second one?
It was written.
I Am had the Aaliyah thing. You won't see me tonight.
Yes, the Puff Daddy.
You won't see me tomorrow.
You can hate me now.
You can hate me now, but it did have... It had Nas's like.
Mm-hmm.
It had...
Which again, why was that so good? Because of Premiere.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course. And then...
go back and listen to Hard to Earn, by the way.
Which one?
Hard to Earn, Gangstars, the third or fourth album.
Well, I mean, that was the Mass
Appeal.
Yeah.
It's one of the best albums ever made, I think.
Okay.
Hard to Earn.
You really are old school.
Dude, that album, it's, yeah. I mean... one song came on the other day on Shuffle, and I just stopped it and went through the whole album.
Okay.
Straight through, and I'm like, God damn, this is every track on that album. I mean, Dwick is one of the best songs ever made. It's incredible. Yeah,
you really
are. I am old school. Yeah, I'm early '90s is like my late '80s, early '90s is so my favorite stuff.
So your take on the new guys? You just
I really think
not
it's
at all
garbage. I think they all sound alike. I think it's all just that slow, boring shit. And they talk like this, and it's just like, ugh. I think it's boring. It's whiny.
Yeah.
I don't think it's creative. Eminem's the only guy, if you want to call him new, who's still doing stuff like, you know what I mean? Like,
he's 98.
Yeah, but his new album, I think, was so good.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's great. But, like, stuff like that, nobody can do anything that he does. I think Blackalicious is awesome. They're still doing stuff, you know what I mean? But I tried listening to Kendrick. I tried so hard.
So you didn't like it either?
No, I'm just I'm just like, I don't get it.
I hope JL doesn't hear it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I don't hate it, but like, out of all the garbage out there, he's the least garbage, I guess I can say, at least.
Wow, you know? Dude. But I think he's fantastic.
I know, everybody does. And I think it's... Because I listen to so much old stuff, and then when I hear the boring, uncreative stuff of the new guys,
well, you know,
I'm like, it's no comparison. You know what I mean?
I was saying this. Do you know Will Miles?
No.
He's a comic in the city. I was talking to him over the weekend because he was in Cleveland. We were talking, and he's a big Drake fan.
Ugh, what? How is that possible? Seriously,
he likes Drake. I think Drake is talented.
Why?
He is talented. He makes some good. You know, I told JL this. Every time I'm at a bar, I'm at a club, and I Shazam a song because I don't know what it is. It's Drake. And I sound like my parents.
How good is Shazam, by the way?
It's good.
It's amazing.
It's great. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
All right. But every time I've been in a club or something, getting ready to do a set, and you hear it.
Who is this?
Well, Drake. My parent, because he hosted the ESPY Awards, and my parents like, who's that Drake guy? I like that guy. He's charming, he's talented. But when he does, every time I hear a cover of one of his songs, the cover is better than his.
Yeah.
And I think there's this, like, he has this, I think it's a choice. I think it's a stylistic choice where it's almost like he doesn't care. It's almost like this disaffected thing where he's like, he doesn't care. Like this song Hotline Bling, I don't know if you, there's this girl that
I couldn't name you one song.
Okay.
I'm sure I've heard them, I just couldn't.
There's this 19 year old singer named Alessia Cara who's a pop star on the rise. She's from Canada. She did a cover and hers was better because it seemed like she cared.
Yeah.
And then somebody else did this group I guess what do you call them, electronic soul group called Sunny Moon. It's kind of like Groove Theory, but they're white. No, it's not.
I love Groove Theory, by the way.
They're not putting on anything, and one of them actually sung on a Kendrick Lamar record. Oh, sorry. Oh, boy.
What was that song back in the day?
Tell me what you want me to do.
Give you all my love. I want to make it good to you.
There you go.
I love that song, man.
She's Amel LaRue is fantastic. Yeah. So it's kind of like that dynamic, and they did a cover of one of his songs off of his early tape, and it's just like, God, this sounds better. But there is a thing that I like about Drake where he's got this one song called Legend, where it's like he's rhyming like he's on Paxil, where it's like he just doesn't care, but he's telling you he's the best, but he's...
That would drive me nuts, man.
It's fun.
You know, Redman can't pay his friggin' cell phone bill, but Drake's got millions of dollars.
Is that true?
Probably. You know?
No.
But you know what I mean? It's like, who's better than Redman, dude? How funny was Redman back in the
day? He could spit. That Blacklight out. Was it that whole album, Blacklight?
Him Black and Arrow.
Blackout. Yeah.
What the album, his first album. Whew. Every album he's did is actually incredible.
Just a spitter. Like, he's just... Yeah, he's... I don't know. Like, I think there's still guys there. I think, like, Sky Zoo put out one of the best hip-hop records of the year. Just... There's people that aren't in the mainstream that aren't getting credit.
That's true.
And I think Kendrick, it's not really fascinating, but it's cool that a guy who's essentially indie kind of rose to this level where he's on the Colbert show and he's the last musical guest.
I tried watching that. I'm just like...
Well...
I know people are saying it was the best performance ever. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
He's not... he's not for everybody, but I think the skill's there. I think
it has to be. He was in half of Dre's new album.
I think,
you know what I mean? So
he needed to be.
Yeah.
But I think he's terrific. I think he's one of those guys, man. He's just
I know people tell me, and
it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's not. I'm not putting any judgment on you. He's not. But I think, like, there's guys out there. Like, there's like Sky Zoo. There's Blue. To me, one of my favorite rappers who I named in my top five, he's singing now. He's not even rapping anymore. Fonte. He's got this group called The Foreign Exchange, and he's doing, like, electronica, adult contemporary, soul type stuff. Yeah. And he's, to me, one of the best. So do you remember The Minstrel Show, yes. right? So an album like that's 10 years ago. They just celebrated the anniversary.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Like, there's go to my Facebook page and look at that. I posted it's kind of like a little retrospective piece that this one guy did. And so that album was fantastic. They didn't get the credit that they deserved. They didn't get the accolades. And now there's guys trying to be like them. Drake is trying to is. Essentially doing Fonte. Childish Gambino is who I like. I'm sure you don't.
I have one of his albums, and I think he's... Community's one of my favorite shows ever.
Yeah.
So I wanted to like it, but the album is just like... It's too much weird Kanye shit.
What do you have, Camp, or do you have Internet? Because the Internet.
Because the Internet. Yeah,
he's doing a lot of
it's
shit.
It's a lot of weird Kanye
stuff. It's a lot of experimental.
Yeah, which I was like, eh.
There's some jams. There's some good records on there, but I think it's... I like it. And then, like, his... Because he found his voice. Because before, Camp was good, too. Camp was his origin story, basically. But then before, he was kind of sounding like a lot of people. He was sounding like Lil Wayne a lot. But where was I going with that? A lot of those guys were trying to be like Fonte. And now these people... And what's happening now is guys are being a little more themselves now. So that's why you kind of do see that. It's almost like an alt thing, like in comedy, where guys...
But it's this cocky, like you said, don't care... attitude.
Where not
just,
all.
I know. But a lot of them that are making it are, I think, have that. It's just like, if you go back and listen to the old stuff, it's like, God damn, they worked hard for this shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what
I mean? Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of the main things. One of the only things I'm very snobbish about is...
So you just, you've given up.
I think so. I mean, I can't think of anybody that's, you know, new that came out like, oh, this new kid's great. You know, I wish there was. Trust me, I got into Little Brother, you know, a couple years ago because I remember I always saw, you know, Mos Def featuring Little Brother, Telequali featuring, like they always pop up on random.
Yeah,
these guys are pretty good. I remember listening, looked them up and really liked the first album especially.
The Listening?
Was Mitchell's the first one?
Mitchell was second.
Okay, maybe I don't have the listening then.
The listening is I mean, I would see you liking that. I mean, because sort of, their name sort of comes from, like, them being the torchbearers for De La
Chai. Yeah, they have that De La Chai, that native tongues vibe to it, which is what I love.
And they're from North Carolina. I mean, it's just like...
Do you like Blackalicious?
They're fine. I just had one of their albums.
Gifted Gab's awesome. Lyrics Born. He's in that okay.
There's that crew.
He's so good.
I just don't think... my only critique would be that you... My concern would be that you're missing out on some good stuff.
Here's the thing too. When I was in that mid '90s, when all that No Limit, Cash Money shit
was
everywhere. Me neither. But me and my friend would study this shit constantly because it was on all the time. MTV, nonstop. It was on, right? Yeah, on the radio. So because it was everywhere, and I would like other stuff that wasn't ever on the radio as much, I'm just like, this is all we hear. Maybe that's why, too, I'm so scarred, because the shit that I don't think should ever get popular, like Juvenile, like that song, which was the most popular song in the world for a couple of weeks. Meanwhile, De La has to fund their own album.
Even in that time, man, they had the Grind Day. Well, that was 05. That Grind was 10 years ago. 04, 05?
04.
And then they had the Artificial Intelligence. They had some good songs on there.
Every album was good.
Like they were.
They don't have a bad album.
I mean, they stayed. true to who they were.
There's two groups, man, that's ever done that: Public Enemy and De La. It's the only groups that have stayed together after this long.
And they were good. Did you ever hear who was on? Was Dave? Dave was on the Champs podcast, maybe like. Year or two ago. Do you ever listen to the Champ? If I find it, I'll send it to you. But yeah, man, there's some good stuff out there. It was something else I wanted to say. I wanted to make sure that I got it. What was I wanted to tell you about? You would like Odyssey. You might like Odyssey. Have you ever heard of him?
I don't think so.
He's a guy from DC.
Yeah.
Independent guy.
Is Atmosphere kind of new?
I was like,
that guy?
I was in Chicago. He's from Minnesota, isn't he?
I heard a couple things of him and I liked.
That's got to at least be 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think it's new.
He has some album about, like, turning lemons when you get shit, make it into a lemon. No, I know who they are. I haven't heard much. But I think Atmosphere used to rhyme with MERS.
Yeah.
Do you know MERS?
Yeah.
I think they used to do stuff together.
There's just so much good old stuff. That's getting lost as these, and which is normal and understandable. Same thing with the NBA. These kids think LeBron's the greatest, but they've never seen Jordan or Isaiah or Magic or Bird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but you can't. I just don't want you to just be lost there. I mean, that's still going to be there. I just think you're missing.
I'm open to it, and I do listen when people tell me.
Yeah.
But usually, I don't like it. It's like, try these string beans. I know I'm not going to like it.
Do you have, like Spotify or anything on there? I'll have to... If you can turn it on at some... When we finish, I'll... When life gives you lemon, you paint that shit gold.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. These people aren't going to listen for 2 hours to us yet.
That's 08. So what else do we want to say? I think that's about it. I think we covered
that was a lot of info.
We covered some stuff, man. I think it was good.
If you're still listening, thank you.
Oh, they'll still listen. we're an hour and 37.
Ooh, that's too long.
No, they'll listen.
That's too long.
You can split it up. They'll listen. Dude, I've done 3 hours before.
Nice.
So where can people find you? I'll post all that stuff
on
the link, but
because I'm took a lot of time off for the baby. I'm getting back into it. I had 2 shows this week, but I'm getting back into it. Check my Twitter's where I put most stuff, at Laugh at Brian.
Okay.
That's where I find most of my info.
Instagram, all that?
All that stuff.
What's my website's
laughatbrian.com.
Okay.
Which I had never updated, so don't get mad. But contact info and stuff is
all up right, there. Cool. Brian McGinnis, thanks so much.
Fun, man. We finally did it.
We did it.
We've always wanted to talk hip-hop.
Oh yeah, you did. You're a curmudgeon.
I'm the JL of hip hop.
You are open minded. No, JL is not anything of hip hop. He's the nothing. He's the nothing of hip hop because he doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
He just knows Biggie. He just knows, like...
His dumb impression. Yeah, I said it. No, he's not listening.
Wow, shots fired. Wow.
Biggie's overrated, too, by the way.
You think that's because he died?
Yeah.
Because Pac was... Pac, Biggie was better.
No,
Pac,
I don't think so.
Pac, you could feel him.
Yeah. Biggie was just, I eat pussy, and I do drugs, and I'm fat, and I eat pussy.
Nah, he could tell
that was
story.
80% of Biggie's shit. Look how high I am, look how much pussy I'm eating. That's all it was. Well, Pac was everywhere, man.
You
I
could,
love Tupac.
You could fit, Pac wasn't as technically...
No.
Aesthetically.
Neither is Chuck D.
But you felt him.
Dope as fuck, yeah.
So that's what made him great. I mean, they're both apples and oranges. I mean,
they are.
Both
great. But they always get, they're always going to be linked together. Always,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As like the best, which I don't, you know, they're not even in the top 10 either.
I liked Biggie.
I love the first album.
I liked Pac. But yeah. Like I said, I was not listening to those guys.
There's the other one. Get out of there. That's not your room. I have two dumb cats here.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, anyway, hip hop for life, you know.
All right, man. Thanks.
My wife always says, "You're so smart. Why do you listen to rap music?" Because I'll always have, you know, I'll be walking around singing to Straight Outta Compton or something.
Yeah.
Or some Eminem or something in here, De La, you know. All right, and she's a trained opera singer, so that's why. She's a classically trained opera singer, so
she does all these masks. Les Mis and
the
okay.
opera, yeah.
I knew there was a theater nerd in here.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, she's got to know I'm in debt for having an MFA in theater.
There you
so
go.
Well,
you guys can get along.
Oh, yeah. I got friends that do the opera.
Yeah.
Well, look, man, thanks so much,
awesome.
Brian. All right.
Yeah, man, sorry it's so hot in here.
That's fine. Take it easy, everybody.
Later.